Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. If you'd like to call in, bring up whatever is on your mind, the number is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And tonight we have a lot of things to talk about, all surrounding the ideas of liberty and how much more moral it is to not tell other people what to do. We're really happy to have TJ the Spy, former NSA agent and current Fed here with us.
That's actually my name is, as you can see from my driver's license, is TJ the Spy. I changed it legally so that I can go through TSA security and get the full pat down treatment because they don't believe that the idea is real.
So this is all just so you can get patted down by men?
Yeah.
More often. Well, your middle name is The now, right?
The, yes. So it's interesting.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that's how it would. I guess that does make sense, but.
Yeah.
First name's just TJ.
Yeah, first name is TJ.
Are there like dots in between it, or could it technically be said that your name is Tuj or something?
That's great.
Yeah, you like that?
He showed her his, what is that, driver's license?
Colorado driver's license. I got a TJ the Spy passport. Mm. I got a TJ the Spy monogram t-shirt here.
I got one too.
I got a t-shirt, TJ the Spy tote bag.
Why does it say unwanted by the FBI on your shirt?
Because of the first FBI raid, it was something where they came in. And
here
they
at the studio?
At the studio. And speaking of which, March 16th, 2016.
Oh, that's in 3 days. Whoa.
March 20th, 2016 mm-hmm. is going to mark the 8-year anniversary.
Of that raid,
yes.
And that's the day that you and your husband fell in love.
Yes, we fell in love.
It's my birthday, too.
Oh.
And the spring equinox.
And maybe I shouldn't say it.
Yeah,
all.
I don't know if we want to
out
our other birthday.
Birthday, but I don't know if they're interested in me saying that on the radio. But yeah, so the raid in 2016 on this house because of big bad Ian Freeman, the kingpin, the sophisticated
the mastermind,
cyber criminal,
the sophisticated survivor, yeah, criminal,
the ringleader.
Because of Ian, the big bad criminal, the first raid on this house that we record the studio from, it is technically a house that this studio is in, was in 2016, and that was March 20th, so that's going to be the 8-year anniversary, you said? And I just realized that the 16th is going to be the 3-year anniversary of the other raid that was...
That's the one you went through.
Yeah, the one that the FBI agent, I was like, so what is this about? After like 3 hours of craziness, and he was like, they're going to give you a warrant, but... basically, it's about Bitcoin. And I was just like, I was so shocked.
Dun, dun.
And I was just like, but Bitcoin's not illegal.
You're like, but you guys just blew out all of our windows and
drove a tank into our house.
And yanked the peace flag down, too. Yeah. That was my favorite part. You know, yank, the peace flag down.
Pointing guns at people, flying drones into the house. You're like, wow, all of this over... something that isn't illegal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's
wow.
We're civilized people. Don't they ever think of just knocking? Because the one thing my good friend Alan Bruce Carroll, he's long dearly departed, but he was an FBI agent at the NSA, and he said the way you treat a bank fraudster or a bank manager who's guilty of bank fraud is different than you're going to treat a street thug who's wanted on armed robbery and said, you know, I'm never going back to prison, dead or alive.
Yeah.
So this raid was more of the high risk, dynamic entry, smash the windows instead of the, you know, they could just come up at 9 a.m. and say, Ian Freeman, you're under arrest. Turn around, place your hands behind your back.
Seriously.
Yeah, but if they knocked on the door, then they wouldn't have gotten to use the Bearcat.
Yeah.
That's an armored vehicle.
Yeah, they wouldn't have got to use the whole SWAT team and everything else.
Like,
so that's like part of the fun for them.
When I was standing there handcuffed outside in the cold, in basically like a dress and no underwear, they were my dog was running around and kept coming up to sniff me and then run away, and he was really scared, and it's dark and there's cars everywhere. So I said to my FBI agent, who like had my handcuffs and my arm and stuff, I was like, so can I pick up my dog? Can you uncuff me and just let me pick up my dog? Am I under arrest? Or no, I said, am I being detained? And he said, you're being restrained so we can make sure that there's nothing in the house that's going to hurt us. is there anything in the house that's going to hurt us?
I have nothing to say. Talk to my attorney.
I didn't know that you had to say talk to my attorney. I was just like, no, it's our house.
And yeah, then, like, what a strange thing to, like, ask somebody.
And he said, don't worry about the dog. Like, okay, thanks.
You're like, oh, wow, I never thought about that. Yeah, I'm totally not worried about my dog running around in the street anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you. That never occurred to me.
The first raid was funny. I really enjoyed the first raid, personally, because there's a video of me naked confronting the FBI agents.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We were getting to why your shirt says, TJ the Spy, unwanted by the FBI. FBI.
Well, that night, so the night before, Renee and I were partying, doing lines of coke, and it was just having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, James, my husband, said, you want to take MDMA? And I said, sure. And then we decided to take LSD, which is called candy rolling, when you take MDMA mm-hmm. and LSD
candy
together.
Flipping.
Candy flipping, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were rolling really good upstairs in the bathroom. And we were in the Garden of Eden together.
Oh, wow.
And God was talking to us in the form of the shower head. Just like why I'm talking to you now, he was talking to us, and I said, you know, can we be married? And he said, well, do you have any witnesses? And I said, no. And he said, look out the window, and there are 15 federal agents coming towards the front door. Bang, bang, bang. FBI search warrant.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, oh, boy. I knew. James looked at me very accusingly, like, what did you do? And I said, honey, I was a spy for the NSA. If I had done something, the FBI wouldn't be here. So give me a little credit. But he started filming.
Who would be there, like the NSA?
Yeah, since I work for the NSA, if I had done something illegal, the FBI wouldn't know about it.
Oh, I see.
Right. And so they said, we're here searching for child porn. I said, thank God you're here for that. Because the baggie of cocaine in my hand is totally mine. And so that was one of those awkward things because the cocaine was in plain view, but they didn't have a warrant for it.
Oh, so they can't really do anything about
right? Yes, right. Because the warrant, the thing, it could be cornstarch or it could be protein supplements or it could be any number
but
of powdered substances. So
the plain view thing mean they could look at it anyway?
No, the plain view means it has to be, the criminality has to be imminently obvious. Hmm. So if you see a bloody knife in the middle of the kitchen, that would be admissible under the plain view doctrine, even if it wasn't in part of the original search warrant.
Hmm.
But here, there's no nexus between drugs and child porn. So the warrant, they could take anything that was a computer, anything that was a camera, anything that was capable of recording an image. But powdered substances, you said, that's not digital immediate. It falls outside the scope of your warrant. So they let me keep the baggie.
Wow. But what? Okay. Why the unwanted part? I feel like we're missing that part here.
Well, I did apply. So right before I got canned at the NSA, I applied to be a special agent at the FBI.
I thought this was all about Scott Bailey, the unwanted part.
Well, Scott Bailey didn't. I wanted Scott Bailey. I think he's married. But,
I thought that's the whole reason it says TJ the Spy, unwanted by the FBI.
Well, it was kind of, because normally people say wanted by the FBI, so I just changed it to unwanted by the FBI, because they are never happy to see me.
I thought it was because Scott Bailey didn't want you. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yes. See,
no, it's a new reason for it, then.
I kept saying, Scott, honey, you know, like, you can lie to me, that's doing your job, but if I lie to you, that's 18 U.S.C. section 1001, false statement to a federal agent. I don't think that's very fair. How about you and me get upstairs and we can get, you know, I'm not saying we have to have sex, but you're probably straight, but how about a sexy shower? You know, like, you can take off all that tactical crap, that ballistic vest, the gun, and we can just, and that way I know you're not wearing a wire, but your partner can watch. So, you know, and he said no. And I said, yeah, why? Well, sleeping with a grand, that's the one thing FBI agents cannot do.
Hmm.
They cannot sleep with a suspect or a grand jury witness.
That's the one thing?
Yeah, they can do drugs. So, like, a lot of people think, if I, you know, like, oh, this guy's cool because he did cocaine with me. Well, FBI agents undercover are allowed to break the law as part of their cover, as long as it doesn't endanger life or limb.
Okay, so then just, like, sex is the one thing that they can't do.
Sex is the one thing they can't do undercover. Because it would be hard to get on the witness stand and say, yes, I busted the guy, and by the way, I was banging his wife or something.
Yeah, or if like it's like a prostitute sting. Yes. And it's like, and it's yeah, kind of but like I went immoral. Through with, you know.
And it's super immoral to be
well,
like.
Well, most of what they do is immoral.
Well, yeah,
say.
But that's like a crazy stuff. Like doing drugs with someone is like, I feel hurt. Okay, but telling them you love them and having sex with them and stuff, and then turning out you're not even who you said you were at all. Like that's
yes.
another
like a
level.
Scooby-Doo mask. Like, yeah. Oh, I feel so used.
That's crazy. That would be terrible. People need yeah. to stop calling me a fed.
Yeah.
So this is evidence that Bonnie's not a fed.
People are always like,
yes, she's sleeping with the suspect in a grand in a Bitcoin investigation.
But I guess it doesn't rule out that I'm an MK Ultra victim and that I just don't know I'm a fed. Basically, that's some people's theory.
It's a fun theory. I don't know if I believe that, but
it's just like at this point, like why wouldn't I have like just unplugged all the radio wires or something as part of my training? You know, you hear a keyword and then you unplug all the FBI, Free Talk Live wires.
So it's kind of like the Manchurian candidate. When right. you see the red queen, you know, it's like all of a sudden they get activated.
Exactly. But yes, this house has been raided multiple times. My husband is in prison. If you are new to this show and you don't know about this show, the other thing about this show is that we are in New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure... you did move here for it, TJ.
Yeah, I moved to New Hampshire because I wanted to just be part of the action mm-hmm. with the Free State Project. And I came to Keene and met this wonderful person named James. And he was running the thrift store in town.
And he's a fed, so he took you away.
Yes, he took me away. And we fell in love and, you know, we just said, you know, Ian has a knack for, like, I said, Ian, anytime you have a video camera, I know the cops can't be far behind.
Hmm.
Because I swear, I was like, oh, there's Ian or Derek J, and they have a camera out, and then the woo, cherries and berries go off, and it's like, yep. And it's not just once, it's like all the time, so.
Wow. I mean, it was so much more active back then in Keene, at least, with, like, direct activism. And there's a whole movie about it called Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. Were you here at that point?
That's a little bit before my time, but, you know, I know Derek J quite well.
Mm-hmm. He was still here before you.
Yes.
When you got here.
Yes. He was actually my first crush, and he said, oh, there's this other guy. I guess he was trying to get rid of me. So he said, there's this other guy named James, and he's in the closet. So
wow, so he actually hooked you guys up?
Yeah.
Kinda? Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, it was Chris Cantwell. It was a lot of things, but I went into his thrift store to buy something one day and do Robin Hooding, which is where you put the money in the parking meters to keep people from getting parking tickets.
Right.
And he didn't want to do it. And I saw him later that night on a dating website, and he said, oh, you want to take a shower together? And that was something that was totally just surreal, or not surreal, but it was just unexpected, because most guys are like, hey, want to come over and do the nasty? So, but he just said, you want a shower? And I said, yeah. And so I came over and met Chris Cantwell, who did not know that James was gay.
And then you guys are in the shower.
And we're in the shower together, and he's like, is he here to fix something?
it didn't tip him off.
We're working on the plumbing back here.
Oh, God.
Radio is just working. I didn't mean that as a double entendre. I feel like you both took it that way, but I really didn't. I was just saying, oh, no, that's why the water is running.
Yes, yes.
Totally not like nude taking a shower together.
Yeah.
I don't know if double entendre is the word either.
Yeah, and so...
Double meaning.
So that's my story about how I met James, and we dated for a while, and then we decided to go to Colorado where weed was legal, because we were just we said, well...
You didn't want to go to Massachusetts?
Oh, God, no. Well...
How long has it been legal there?
A while. Oh. I think it was one of the first states, if I remember correctly. I don't really know, though.
What did you say, Producer Riley?
2012
is
when weed was legal.
Oh, he said 2012.
Okay.
And Riley keeps up with that stuff. It's kind of Riley's most, favorite activism.
This is why we pay Riley the big bucks. He's top-notch crack producer.
Yeah, he was saying before the show, he's our crack team of producers or something, but he said crack producer.
Yeah, something I found out in the trial of the Crypto Six is that Melanie Neighbors, the federal informant...
Oh, the pig, you mean?
Yes, she was
also
getting...
Also federal informant?
She was getting paid by Ian to do the book work.
And I don't know if it was paid. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe, probably. I just don't remember.
That's what I read in the trial transcript.
Oh, okay.
That she was getting paid like $20 a show or something to do the show. And
hmm. Okay.
And so anyway, I thought, we're getting, people are getting paid to do the show.
That's BS. I have to pay to do the show.
I mean, it's even if you get paid $20 a show, it would be, you know, not even $10 an hour. And it's like, you know, not really like making money. Like, think of the opportunity costs. You probably are going to make more than $10 an hour elsewhere. So it's just like, it's really activism. People should care about it more for that. Some people get kicked off the show for one reason or another, and then they're complaining.
I wish Ian had hired me to be the bookkeeper, because if the feds would have come to me and said, we want to see Ian's book, I would say, you can't get me. You got to throw me in prison. Because here's the thing. I don't really want a job. Well, in prison, I don't need a job. Mm-hmm. I got free food, free health care, free.
That's a good point.
And occasionally you might get to have sex in the prison shower, but that's, you know.
Yeah, and you're a guy. I would not want to be put in all female prison. No freaking way. Like, if I was like.
You don't want to meet a nice lady in there?
Yeah, I wish I could make myself look like trans or something if I ever go to prison and be like, you must put me in with females. I demand it. And then they'll put me in with the males.
No, just say you identify as a male and they'll put you in with the males.
Probably not. I think that doesn't
work. I mean, that didn't
work
out for Arya.
Exactly. They just want to do whatever you think, whatever they think you don't want them to do. I'm going to be like, I demand to be put in with the women, even though I'm not biologically a woman. Then I'll get put in with the males because it's reverse psychology.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, you're lucky.
But you just outed yourself because you just, you know, you just told them.
Hopefully I never get
put in prison. So all the feds listening to the show right now.
Taking notes.
Now, what is Ian eating in prison? Is he eating ramen noodles or is he trying to stay healthy?
Oh, he eats what they give him and he's like, it's pretty good about everything that he gets. He's like, today we got the goulash. I like that so much. It's like the best thing we get here. It's just like some kind of gross soup with like mystery stuff. And he's like, I think it's like some kind of beef. That's the thing. He eats anything and he likes anything and he doesn't even have to know what it is. He's like, tastes good. You know what I mean? He like will eat anything put in front of him. It's like definitely a perk of going to prison for him because he eats so much.
Yeah, and for some people in society, prison is not punishment. Like most normal people, they fear going to prison. But Ian seems to have a knack for just, you know, kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya, when he goes in. And he does it because I remember a lot of activists like Ademo Freeman and such after they got sent to Valley Street.
That's a bad one, though. He's not there. Valley Street's
where
like
is
the
that?
Worst in... It's in Manchester.
Oh, okay.
It's like the worst in New
it's
Hampshire.
It's not like the Cheshire County Spiritual Retreat?
Yeah.
No, the Cheshire County Spiritual Retreat is very high notch, according to all the people who've stayed there.
Yeah, like a
five
nice
stars.
Place. Yeah.
Yep.
In comparison. Because like people go missing, people die, and the guards will pay some bad inmates.
In
to
Manchester?
Kill another inmate. Yeah, in Manchester.
That's
at Valley
crazy.
Street. It's like the worst one in New Hampshire. But where he is now, the other day I went to go visit, and most of the time it's just some lackey they have that like signs us in and lets us go in to visit the inmates. But the other day it was like somebody who had a more higher up looking t-shirt on or polo on. And he was like, who are you here to visit? And I said, Ian Freeman. And he's like, Freeman. Yeah, I met him. He's a good guy. Like, imagine getting said that about you by the... You know, the warden or whatever.
That is like so strange. It's like you are employed by the prison that is like this person is employed by the prison that's holding your husband hostage.
Yeah, yeah. They're so
and they're like, oh,
weird.
Yeah, good guy. Like that guy.
Yeah, they just like don't
just
think
weird.
Of things correctly. They're
yeah.
just all a bunch of idiots. Like this man I'm talking about, he has a tattoo on each forearm, says self-made. And he's a tax parasite, as your husband pointed out the other
yeah.
day, because I told him about that. He's a tax parasite. He's not self-made.
It is very ironic. But I think there's a lot of cognitive dissonance, not only with like bureaucrats and government workers and politicians, but I think across the board, the general population, like there's a lot of cognitive dissonance and they just can't really, they're not dissecting things on the level that, say, someone in the libertarian freedom anarchist community would be able to like critically think
right.
at.
Like, I feel like they all think, like, oh, I'm being a respectful guy. Just be a respectful guy to me. They're not thinking of the fact that they are in between freedom and being in jail to this person, you know,
yeah.
by agreeing to work there at the very most. But one thing about the Free State Project here in New Hampshire that we were going to mention, and that's basically just a project started in, I think, like 2002 or 2001 that is the idea is that people will, as many people who aren't stupid and don't have like all this logical confusion in their head about life, who understand freedom and liberty is the way forward for humanity, as many as possible are moving to New Hampshire to start their own communities here and hopefully, you know, eventually make it the State Free Project. And this weekend is Liberty Forum, a conference Yay. That Free State Project Inc. puts on. And that's why TJ is here. So I wanted to bring that up. What exactly is Liberty Forum, TJ?
Liberty Forum, this will be 10 years ago to the first time I met James at Liberty Forum was in February of 2014. I was just coming off a bad divorce and the rebound was not helping at all. And so I came to Liberty Forum and I saw this guy in an orange hoodie and he's doing Robin Hooding. And he was giving a talk about, you know, like, do what I did. Come and start a thrift store and start a business. And
oh, he gave like a talk there, like on the stage. Cool.
And that's, you know, of course, you know, hi, my name's James. I've been arrested for possession of modafinil in Dinwiddie, Virginia. I've been arrested for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest in Keene. And I'm being sued by the city of Keene for putting money in the parking meters. That was basically the...
Which they won that suit, by the way. Not the city of Keene, but James and
James and company won and set a Supreme Court precedent for the state of New Hampshire for Supreme Court for free speech rights. But he was just worn out after that because the thing is, every Supreme Court precedent is like a 5-year ordeal for the person involved. So like Ian... If he goes to the appellate court, it's going to be several more months. And then if they don't decide the way we think it should be decided, it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And if they decide to grant certiorari, which is very rare.
Yeah, if it's very rare, but it still could happen. But
still
it's
could happen.
Extremely long time takes. The process is the punishment to people. Even if you win, well, you've just been in jail for 5 years. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And you can call that number. That's 603-283-6160. It's a very fun week for us here in the free state of New Hampshire, for libertarians at least. I was saying recently that it's fun to be a libertarian in New Hampshire because it's like there are extra holidays throughout the year for us that other people don't get.
That's pretty funny. So it's a funny way to think about it.
We have Liberty Forum this weekend, so TJ's here, and that's super fun. Just other people that we don't normally
see. Yes, and we're going to... And are we still going to hold a party that nobody knows about?
Yeah, there's a party at Liberty Forum that nobody knows about, so you could try to contact me if you live in New Hampshire and you want to go. But other than that, I'll be sending out more information about that soon, but maybe we shouldn't like give them all the info.
Okay, yeah.
It's definitely going to happen. Free Talk Live presents, you know, party. And I'm excited for that. But in national news, the U.S. House passes a bill that would ban TikTok amid national security concerns. Al Jazeera has this story here. It says the bill now heads to an uncertain future in the Senate, though President Biden has pledged to sign it if it passes. Why is Biden anti-TikTok? Shouldn't he be trying to get the Gen Z vote or something? That's kind of silly.
I'm showing my age here, but like I think, yeah, I'm like, what is the appeal of TikTok again? Because I'm 40 something years old, and so like, TikTok,
but that's a good point. We should explain what it is to people who don't know.
They made fun of it in South Park, I know, but
it's short form video, so you can make like a 10-minute long video, but mostly these videos are like seconds long.
It's great if you have ADHD.
Probably gives you ADHD.
It probably does get, yeah.
I am not even, I'm 27 and I'm really not that crazy about TikTok. Like, I can watch it and turn it off. My sister is on it all day and she's 4 years younger than me. So,
I mean, my mom is like super into TikTok. She's always sending me TikToks.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I have lots of friends that are always sending me TikToks and I'm like, yeah. Oh, I gotta watch this TikTok eventually.
It does seem like a lot of boomers are into TikTok because I know like some older folks too, or like people in their late 40s that are just like.
There's something for everyone on it for sure. Like, yeah. There's tons of niches.
Yeah, and I think the big appeal of TikTok is the algorithm, which this is either an appeal or like if you're any sort of like security minded person. Yeah, like people don't really like that. Like most people I know don't like it when the algorithms are like too accurate. But for people like my mom or whatever other person that's enjoying it, they really like how quickly the algorithm can pick up on what you want to look at because then it's like perfectly tailored towards you. But in my opinion, that just makes it easier to kind of like put people in an echo chamber and kind of brainwash them.
Right.
And then another thing people like about TikTok is it's really easy to get TikTok famous. Like it's just so easy to get a ton of likes and a ton of followers.
There's just so many people on it. It's made in China. All of them are on it.
I don't know if that's if like the amount of people on it is why it's so easy to get followers.
It surpassed Google.com as the most visited in. That was like something we covered in 2023 or 20. Maybe it was like late 2022, but it's more popular than people going to, oh, Google. Now let me Google something. There are more people on TikTok.
So, and I think that actually speaks volumes because. Typically, I mean, I guess the average person would visit Google to like, I mean, like not only like look up websites, but to ask questions, to seek information.
Yeah, it's so, synonymous with that.
So more people like instead of like trying to maybe learn things, not like Googling things is like a really good source of, you know, knowledge. But it seems like they prefer to be mindlessly looking at TikTok videos for hours on end. And that's the other thing about TikTok is it's a real like black hole time suck where people will be on it all day long. And people will talk about this phenomenon where they're just like, oh, I have a couple extra minutes, like, or I don't have anything to do. Let me just, you know, watch a few TikToks. And the next thing they know, 4 hours has passed.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just crazy. I wouldn't be able to just, maybe if it was like, more like longer form, like if I'm listening to a podcast that's like 3 hours long, I could see like that. But
to me, it's like with a podcast, I'm always like doing something too. I can't just stare into space and listen to a podcast.
Yeah, I'm like doing the dishes or folding laundry, like doing housework and listening to podcasts or like an audiobook or something. You know what I mean? Not just like.
But you kind of have to be like looking at your phone, holding your phone to be on TikTok. So it's like, oh, 4 hours of the day went by. The sun has moved a lot since I.
Yeah, to me, it's really annoying, especially like I've had instances where I've been driving in the car and then the passenger is on TikTok and it's the same annoying songs over and over again, and I just have to be like, can you turn that off? Like, I'm gonna ask you to like I'm going to kick you out of the car if you don't turn it off.
That's what both of my husbands hate about TikTok. Like, I've never really had a crazy... I have an ex-husband, so it's a joke. But I've never had a crazy addiction to TikTok. But anytime I've had, like, a phase of looking at it more... The thing is, one thing about TikTok, maybe you don't know, TJ, is that people will share... If people will use a famous sound. So maybe it's like... Maybe you made a video saying... Oh, I'm unwanted by the FBI. And then people take that sound and lip sync it and make different jokes about it. So, like, if you're not the one looking, like, you're driving and your passenger is watching TikTok, you're going to keep hearing that sound. Oh, I'm unwanted by the FBI. Or the same song that everybody's doing a selfie video to or whatever. So, and then they also have, like, I don't know really why, but they have this... voice that reads text that has a stupid voice.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Ian hates that.
It's like, I forgot about that.
My name is Bonnie. I can't even do it.
Yeah, it's like a weird robot voice, but they have a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And then, like, for some reason, everyone uses it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's weird. It's creepy. I don't get the appeal of it. For me, like, I would just read it myself if I was making content.
Yeah. I don't really get it either. I don't know if it gets you somehow more views or something.
It probably does. Because with the algorithms, and I know for people, and it's the same with other social medias that use that short form video format, I guess. Like on Instagram, like a lot of the business pages I follow, when they're giving business and marketing advice to business owners, they'll say, like, okay, if you're going to make reels or content, whatever, use the songs that are popular and that are trending, because you will get more views.
You can even, like, silence the song and your video will say, like,
and you can still get the extra views.
Yeah, and you can have it, like, silent, but then if somebody's looking up, like, all the videos made with Yes and by Ariana Grande, you can even have that silenced in your video, but your video will pop up as a search.
Yeah,
or search for that. So, yeah, it can be an annoying phenomenon. It's pretty freaking huge. I do get it. It's not like I'm completely, like, I don't even get it. I get it. Like, it's nice and fun. And specifically, if you want to find information that you can't find anywhere else, TikTok is usually a way to go. Like, there's just, like, a skincare thing that I had been thinking of, but I couldn't find any results, like, looking on Google, and, like, people were asking questions on Reddit, but it didn't really go anywhere. So I went to TikTok and I found information about what I was like. It's just a stupid thing to go into, but, you know, if it's not on TikTok, it's probably just not on the internet, because it's so huge. There's so many specific niches. Like, there's a water TikTok, like, where everybody who's in water TikTok makes videos and posts them, like, this is my water of the day today, I'm putting in this flavor and I'm putting sparkles in and here's what it looks like, my water of the day. Then there's Liberty TikTok. It's not that
water
huge
of the day.
That's a thing people are into, that they're sharing their water of the day. This is my flavoring I'm going with today, I chose this cup.
It's like trying to understand memes, like the ice bucket challenge for amniotropic lateral sclerosis. I just, like, okay, if somebody sat down and said, you know what we can do to raise money for ALS, we can all dump ice water on our heads.
Yeah.
And I just, like, some of these memes, I don't get them.
There's actually a website for that called Know Your Meme. So if you don't get a meme, you can go to Know Your Meme and see if it's on there.
I feel like they should also make a website like that for, like, the newspeak. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
slang?
All the... Yeah.
Oh, like,
because I don't understand most of it. And I'm like, I'm not even that old. I'm like 25.
Seriously, I ask my sister, who's 4 years younger than me, all the time, like, Elsworth, what is geeked up?
I've never even heard that one. That's a new one.
It means, like, hype, like, excited.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that meant until this week.
Yeah.
I'm always asking my sister to translate new slang for me, but there is Urban Dictionary, so they do kind of
have
that.
Yeah, I guess. Urban Dictionary, yeah, that would fill that need. Okay.
A lot of times it's wrong, but.
So back to TikTok, this bill that Biden has signed, what is it supposed to do to protect us? How is it going to protect us? Because I say the one thing it's not going to do is protect us. You know,
because China bad, and China is trying to destroy us, and they need to protect us from China. It says, the United States House, this is from AlJazeera.com, it says, the United States House of Representatives has overwhelmingly passed a bill that could eventually ban the social media platform TikTok in the country in its latest salvo against both China and big tech. Salvo. Is that slang?
You know, nope. That salvo is a battery or a volley of shots.
Oh, okay. It says the bill received resoundingly bipartisan support with a vote of 352-65 in favor. It now heads to the 100-member Senate, where its prospects are less clear. For his part, President Joe Biden has said he would sign the bill into law if it reached his desk. If that happened, TikTok's Chinese owner, ByteDance, would be given about 6 months to divest from its U.S. assets or see its video sharing app banned in the U.S. So what do you think that means, that ByteDance would be given 6 months to divest from its U.S. assets?
I have no idea.
Get rid of its servers here or something?
I'm just, what happened to the good old-fashioned free market solution? If you don't like a product, don't use it.
Yeah.
You know, we got to have the government.
Oh, we can't have that. Oh, my gosh, that's ridiculous.
Too much self-responsibility you're expecting from Americans.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I as a, you know, an intelligence officer, former intelligence officer, I understand that China has access to a massive amount of data on Americans, you know, all the TikToks, and it's not just that. They know your location. They know your audio. They get your voice print. They get your fingerprint. That's the cell phones now with the fingerprint readers are so sensitive.
And the face ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
They get your biometrics. And so it used to be like with the Office of Personnel Management. I was way back in 2008, 2009, something like that. But the Chinese breached the Office of Personnel Management database. So every CIA officer, every FBI agent, every NSA officer, our fingerprints are on file with the Office of Personnel Management when we get a security clearance.
Hmm.
So my fingerprints are now in the hands of the Chinese intelligence. So if I were to go over to China and scan my fingerprints, I'm pretty sure they'd want to have a word with me.
Hmm. Well, they have all that stuff, is what you're saying already.
Yes.
So they don't need TikTok.
Well,
I'm sure they're getting plenty of more information from TikTok that could be helpful to them.
Yeah, but it's like they're on the other side of the world.
Well,
what are they going to do with my information? The United States government's scarier to me.
They could be right. They could be our next door neighbor with a computer, yeah, because they can be anywhere in the world.
Wasn't there some story about there being like a Chinese headquarter, like a Chinese intelligence headquarters somewhere in the U.S.?
I don't know.
I remembered where. I think it was New York City. It was like a Chinese intelligence headquarters that got busted in New York City.
Whoa.
Well, that sounds, I mean, they've had illicit manufacturing labs, pharmaceuticals here in the U.S., so I don't see why they couldn't. Yeah. I mean, we do the same thing. We have, you know, running out of the embassies, the CIA and the FBI and the all the intelligence services will work out of the embassy in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of scary, but at the same time, even if they're doing a intelligence operation here, they're not the ones putting me in jail. They're not the ones who would be like grabbing me from my house and putting me in jail. The United States government is.
That's true. I wouldn't say equally, but I dislike both governments. So I don't really particularly want the US government or the Chinese government to have a ton of my information. But if people want to use TikTok and hand over their information, like clearly the average person doesn't care about that.
We already do it with Google. So.
Right. That's the thing. It's like I feel like most people don't care about that, and they kind of have the right to do whatever they want with their algorithms and their, you know, whatever information they want to sell.
Right.
Whatever.
And like we in this room probably care more than most people, but still that doesn't mean I never use like the actual phone.
I mean, I have Facebook, I have Instagram, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have Gmails.
Yeah, Gmail's a big one that just gives the government if they ask for your password.
Yeah. But I'm pretty, you know, I would say, you know, like you kind of just said, like we're probably more mindful about that sort of thing than the average person, and I am very careful with what I share on social media. Like a lot of personal stuff I do not share on social media, but
right,
I mean, I know people that are way more hardcore than I am, where they're like, they won't even use Telegram or Signal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're like,
we have a friend
smoke that, Signal only.
We have a friend that sends or changes carrier their phone pigeon number every day. I don't even know how that's possible.
I didn't know that was a thing, but
I didn't even know that. Like, what would be the point of that? But then again, they don't like to be gotten a hold of. So,
so that's the point.
Sounds like something Bob would do.
Oh, I don't know who it is. TJ? But
They're like, this is perfect. Nobody can contact me now.
I've always assumed Bob's a fake name anyway. But what else are they doing? It says, the legislation stems from concerns that ByteDance is beholden to the Chinese government. And like all businesses there are partially owned by the government. So there's like, they don't have like a free market.
No.
They don't even have like a partially free market. Like some would say in America, they have like a completely not free market. Like if you have a business, it's like part owned by the government, basically. I don't really know the details of how that works. You guys know what I'm
I thought
about?
It was a communist country, like, period. I didn't know that people had any real control over their own businesses.
It's probably
the government owns everything, right? Essentially.
Well, it's not that it's like, oh, they have like a front, you know, like, oh, you can start that business.
Yeah, like the pretend.
Once you get all of your permissions and we have access to this and this. So yeah, like,
I mean, that kind of sounds like the U.S.
Yeah. So it's saying ByteDance is beholden to the Chinese government, but really it's like another arm because all businesses there are. Government officials have expressed fears that the data TikTok collects from its roughly 170 million American users could pose a national security threat. I just don't get it. What are they going to learn from the people that would, I don't know.
Well, there are several things you could do. So if you have access to all this, say, audio recordings of people talking over TikTok, private messages that the Tencent or whoever owns TikTok can get access to.
It's ByteDance.
ByteDance. You could use it for selective intelligence gathering. So maybe you have a list of NSA and CIA employees and you know their phone numbers. And if you can get them to install TikTok, you can hear what they talk about around the dinner table. Hmm. Now, this is where it gets interesting because with AI, it used to be if you bug someone's phone, you had to have an agent sit there and listen to everything and transcribe it so it could be read and properly analyzed for intelligence. Well, now with you've seen Google Voice, how good it is at transcribing speech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can have TikTok could analyze 170 million people's speeches, and it would it would be something where you could gather intelligence on a massive dragnet scale.
But it's like, what would they do with that? Like, what would they do with that data?
Blackmail. Blackmail would be a common thing that we use it for. Like, if we get, I remember Alan said if a KGB agent who's undercover gets pulled over in Washington, D.C. and he's drunk, let the FBI know because you can't arrest them because they have diplomatic immunity. But that's like something the FBI can use as leverage over him, saying, Sergey, if you don't spy for us, we're going to tell your commanding officer that you were drunk.
Mm.
And so they're always looking for blackmail material. And both sides do this. It's not like, America's bad because we try to get blackmail on foreign Chinese leaders and foreign Russian leaders. And they do the same thing to us.
Hmm. So I guess blackmail is one thing, but it's like, I don't know, the average American, why do they need blackmail on them?
I would say probably they don't fear. The average American doesn't really have too much to fear from the Chinese government.
Hmm.
Government officials have a lot to fear from the Chinese government. But
that's why they want to take away our toy from us.
Yeah, but your average citizen doesn't really have a... That's the good way, because if someone says, the CIA is out to get me, they're probably not. They're probably just a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the general rule of thumb.
Yeah, we had one that wanted to come here and make our basement into a Faraday cage and live in our basement because the CIA was after her and they put electronics in her head and she was trying to get a surgeon to open her head
up.
Also,
this is not the best place to be if you're trying to avoid the feds.
It's a crazy people magnet.
Yeah. Let me come somewhere where that's been raided by, the FBI twice.
Yeah.
I swear there's bad juju in this house.
No.
That causes the police, because Ian is the only one I know that can get arrested on the front porch for changing his name. And
it wasn't for having a couch in the yard?
The couch in the yard. That's why he started the Free State
the
Project,
audacity.
Didn't you know?
What?
He's one of the papers reported that Ian Freeman started the Free State Project after a local judge ordered him to remove a couch from his front yard.
That's hilarious. I hadn't heard that one.
That was
the Free Couch Project.
It looks like we have a caller on the line, so I'm just going to go straight to the unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, it's Colin.
Colin, it's like really bad quality. Could you say something else we can see if this is going to work?
Let me call back in a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a bad cell, so we're going to have to do that. Sorry, Colin. That's
sorry, TJ's only one call per night.
Yeah, only one call per night. No, he's like in a bad cell or something, so that is an exception. That's
just to clarify, Colin is not my ex-boyfriend, but he is my very good ex-roommate. He served the divorce papers on my ex-husband, and he got me through a very rough divorce. And he said, you know what? You need to quit dating these losers, and you need to come out to Keene and find someone who's right for you, who's a libertarian, instead of one of these socialist, democratic, you know, loser people. Come out and find a libertarian guy.
I can't believe that actually worked. Well,
that's good advice.
It's a lot easier to find a guy here than it is to find a woman here.
Wah,
a single woman just standing, you're sitting here all by herself, knowing everything about Murray Rothbard.
You have to import those.
Yeah. They have to get imported, and then you have to be like, okay, so you say taxation is what? And she's like, theft. And then you
extortion.
Train them.
Oh, so yeah, and then if you want like a top level, top tier one, they'll say extortion.
Yeah.
So it's like libertarian My Fair Lady.
I've never seen it.
The whole premise of the show is you take a white trash girl and you teach her how to speak proper British English.
Yeah.
And then she has to go around, you know, the rain in Spain falls mainly in the plain.
Yeah, what are those classes called? The like where they teach you how to set the tables and stuff. The etiquette classes.
Yeah, I always thought
that
was
so it's like
so
that
fun.
Except with like Rothbard quotes and Lysander Spooner and
that sounds really fun.
I know this is actually like the perfect development for your already booming matchmaking services.
Yeah, so I mean
you could really capitalize
expert.
On this. Yeah,
and so if anybody wants to call in and ask me for relationship advice, my qualifications are that I have a perfect husband, and the number is 603-283-6160. But I also have a new project I'm trying to work on getting more women here, so this is just a great brainstorming for me. So we just need to figure out what we can do to get more women here, and it will actually bring more men here at the same time, because there will actually be single women here.
Well, we want libertarian women, because right. The thing is, if it's just women and they're not libertarians, that's just a disaster. Because I've had, I kid you not, I've been in the Quill. I'm a libertarian. I think we need to increase the public school budget.
Oh,
yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand the actual premise of what libertarianism is.
I agree.
A lot of people are just kind of, and even me, like, I never considered myself a libertarian. I've always considered myself an anarchist, but originally I thought a libertarian was basically just a conservative. Like, I didn't know for the longest time.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. That's 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster, holy spit.
It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Suzanne Borrow, who's a gold level amplifier with us. And that's really nice and amazing. That means that Suzanne is giving at least $10 a month to Free Talk Live through our AMPS program. And if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's AMPS.freetalklive.com. It means that she's helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So thank you so much to Suzanne. We really appreciate your support. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And we do have some callers on the line, and that's what this show is about. You can call in on, about whatever is on your mind. So Colin from New Hampshire, what's on your mind, Colin?
Hey, I wish I could be there. There's so many things I've been listening in that I could have been saying about some of this stuff regarding the, you TikTok. Know, TikTok and how maybe even, you know, it's a ruse where they say, oh, you know, the Chinese are using it, but really it's a way for the U.S. to collect data.
Well, then why would they want to ban it?
Well, what I think is they want to transfer ownership into U.S. hands so they can control the content that people are getting.
So this bill might actually take TikTok away from ByteDance and give it to the U.S.?
Well, it's going to, you know, some other buyer is going to buy it, and it'll probably be a U.S. buyer.
So do you have any more insight onto what they mean by the government?
I don't have any specific information about that. I'm just saying I hear things like this, and that's kind of my immediate thought is, like, what else could, you know, be happening?
But what do you think this means? It says here that this bill would give ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, the Chinese business that owns TikTok, it would give them about 6 months to divest from its U.S. assets.
Yeah, I have no idea exactly what those assets are. I mean, I think they probably have servers here in the U.S. They probably would have to sell those or something like that. You know, of course, all of this is probably because it's a corporation. I mean, if it was just an actual Chinese individual directly owning these things, they probably couldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think they really have that there. They don't have a free market at all. They have to go through the government for permission for everything.
That was another thing I wanted to say. You know, they talk about how you have like a party official in the company. Well, we kind of have that in the U.S. through HR departments.
What do you mean a party official?
Well, like you were saying that it's a government person in each one of the companies, and that's usually a member of the party, the Communist Party. And they did the same thing in, like, you know, the Soviet Union, too. But we have a similar thing here where we have these HR departments, and it's basically one kind of ideology that's represented there that controls hiring and firing and all sorts of policy within companies. So you think you're running your own company, but really, you know, the HR person is.
And are they making the company have to go along with certain laws? I never really thought of it like that. I always thought it was like, oh, the HR people are the people you go to when you have a problem, but you just don't want to talk to the boss about it. But are they really there to like enforce like civil rights laws or something like that? You know, TJ?
Well, they do it in a soft way. Like, you don't actually have a law passed saying that people have to do X, Y, and Z, but you'll have this HR person there, and they'll say, well, you don't want to get sued, and you don't want this to happen, so why don't we just do it this way, or why don't we do it that way? And they're always bringing in all these different, you know, things like what's the thing that the banks are doing now, DEI, you know, that kind of stuff is already stuff that HR people push at companies all the time.
What exactly is DEI? I keep hearing about
diversity, equity, inclusion.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like
it's how TJ got hired on as a host on the show.
Yeah, I'm the gay checkbox, so I like Pete Buttigieg.
I wasn't sure which checkbox we were gonna call you, so I was thinking. But yeah, I guess you're the LGBTQ checkbox.
The Alphabet Mafia. I got certified by the Alphabet Mafia. I'm here to tell people what words they can and can't use for certain ethnic and sexual orientation minorities.
Well, that's good. We need that.
There was a time where Mark told Ian he shouldn't say, I got gypped on the air anymore, because apparently that is insulting to gypsies.
Oh. Yeah, I heard the same thing.
I'd never heard that before.
I think it's fine to insult gypsies.
I don't know if it's
okay,
fine
Chris
to insult
Cantwell.
Them. Yeah, Chris Cantwell. No, I'm just kidding. But I just think not many are actually out there getting actually insulted and crying because they heard Ian say gypped.
I didn't even know
there.
That's where that came from.
Me either until I heard about that.
I'm a little offended right now because of my heritage, but I'll let it slide since I know you guys.
You're a gypsy?
I mean, I live in a thing that moves around, and I have no home. Yeah, you know, I'm like
checks out.
Not a heritage.
How is the bus doing, Colin?
Good. You know, same as always.
I'm really jealous of Colin because he can go to Pork Fest and just take his whole house with him. I would love
that. Yeah, the party bus.
Imagine if you could just take
your
house.
Oh, yeah,
it
has a shower and everything.
I mean, he lives in it.
It's pretty nice. I like it. But, yeah, like even people's freedom of speech is curtailed because, you know, there's no actual laws saying you can't say this or say that. But, you know, the HR person will recommend a firing because somebody said something like that, even though there's no complaining party either. There's a really crazy story that Jordan Peterson talked about where he had a what would you call it, like a client, whatever. And the person was like being driven mad because there was just all of these emails back and forth, group emails in the company talking about whether or not they could use the word flip chart because apparently somebody was
Filipino.
Like, oh, flip. Flip is derogatory for Filipino, even though there was no Filipinos at the company and nobody was actually complaining.
So they're getting offended for them.
Yeah, they're getting offended for them. And you know, it's not even as if the word flip and flip chart, you know, is even derived from Filipino in any way whatsoever.
Oh, we're getting lost.
Yeah, it sounds like we're losing you.
Oh, you're losing me?
Yeah, it's getting worse quality. It sounds kind of like it was when you originally called.
Well, that's New Hampshire for you.
Yeah. Sorry, Colin. We're going to have to let you go, I think, because it's just bad audio is a hate crime, is what Captain says. So, sorry, TJ.
That's
your
our
that's fine.
DEI audio quality.
DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion. Is that
equity,
what that was?
Equity, inclusion, yeah.
Equity. I thought they don't like equity, do like equality, something like that. Whatever. They'll use words for whatever they want it to mean. They as in the government. We have another caller on the line, though. We have Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me better if right now or in the following context?
Sounds good
right
so far.
Now, do I sound better than I did before?
No, you sound worse the second time.
Yeah, I think the first time was better, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. Because I've been noticing some of my calls are kind of soft. So, okay. So, I have an update on Winchester, New Hampshire elections yesterday.
Cool.
So, as you guys may recall, an NH exit candidate ran for school board, pro-independence guy. And, of course, the people lost their minds over this. Some people lost their minds over this fact that someone like that could be allowed to run for office.
Yeah, allowed.
Oh, the people who are pro-democracy are mad about democracy happening?
Well, not everybody said that. It was more like just like you should vote him. It was more like you should just vote him down. It wasn't that they were saying you shouldn't be allowed to run. I should not put words in their mouth.
I know what you mean, though. They basically act that way.
But they acted like they couldn't believe it. They said that, you know, the word freaked out came up a time or two. And so is Russell Canning. He's also a free stater. He's been in New Hampshire, you know, off and on since about 2005. Or 2004.
Yeah. He was an early activist. He got here and got active.
I think he's only been in Winchester for about a year. So he's a newbie running for this, and the whole logistics were set up there was no hope of him winning because there was like if you vote for two, and then there's two candidates, and the other two were both of the authoritarian candidates, and he was the only freedom candidate. So most people are going to vote for. If they vote for Russell, they're still going to be voting for one of those authoritarian candidates. Cause that's just the way it's set up. So he didn't really have much of a chance. They got 200 votes, and each of the authoritarian candidates got 400 votes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he was the odd man out and didn't win, which was all expected. However, the Winchester, you know, what you might call the the more liberty-leaning faction of the two factions in Winchester, basically, retook control of the board, planning board and the board of selectmen, which is kind of like the city council. So the GOP / slightly more pro-freedom faction in Winchester is actually very happy with the results that they've gotten, and they have a new friend, and they have a new friend in Russell. And there's kind of this relationship that's blossoming between the liberty folks.
The Republicans the more liberty-friendly faction, or are you saying there's a faction within the Republicans that's more liberty-friendly?
No, I'm just saying the Republicans in Winchester tend to be more pro-freedom, and they did take control of those two institutions, which is of some value. They did not succeed in taking control over the school board. There were some other things that happened. As you know, I did like a litter pickup to support Russell. You know, since if you got an NH exit candidate, that's special. You want to do something to support them. So I did a couple litter pickups to support him. And I was carrying Russell Canning sandwich board around my neck and everything. And you could see, you know, and I just thought, well, probably not very many people saw it and everything. But as soon as I went in to vote, the first lady I talked to said, "How did your litter pickup go for Russell Canning?"
Nice.
And she was the lady who was registering me. And apparently she knew all about the Ridley Report and all these things that I've been doing over the years and everything. So that was fun. She didn't seem like she was a supporter either. She was more, she obviously was kind of skeptical about me, but she knew all about it. So that was good.
I was just going to say, even just her knowing about it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. She probably saw it on the side of the road. You know, so that means
whether you like it or not, I'm honored you watch. And then something else interesting happened while I was voting. And okay, so there have been two incidents, maybe three. So I used to live in Winchester. I had to re-register yesterday because I moved away and moved back. But when I first moved to Winchester in 2018, I had a conflict with the town moderator, Murphy.
What exactly is that?
Moderator is kind of the guy that kind of hovers around the polling place while people are voting. I'm sure they do many other things before the vote, but they're an important election official.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, he tried to restrict me from filming my own voting process in 2018. And it was the same thing. I was like, so why are you so nervous about me? And it turned out, he'd been watching the Ridley Report for a long time already in 2018, and he was nervous about me being in there, you know, with my camera. I said, "Well, your reputation, sir."
Wow.
He's nervous about the camera. But like, okay, I should be able to film the whole process. Now, I don't necessarily have to film other people inside, but if I go into the voting booth, I want to be able to take the camera with me, and if some official walks up to me while I'm in the voting booth and gives me trouble, I need to be able to film that, right?
I don't understand why these people get so scared of you and anybody else with the camera. It's just like they're immediately admitting that they are bad people, I feel like, because what is scary about Dave Ridley, a peace advocate who is a very nice person and is
get away
never
from
rude
me,
to anyone.
Ridley.
Yeah, he's not rude to anyone, and
I remember,
just holding a camera.
I remember
that. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, what's his name? There was a guy that said that to me once when I asked him a question at the State House.
Get away from me, Ridley.
Yeah, but anyway, so the same thing happened in 2018. There was all this creepy stuff that happened in 2018, and then it happened again in 2020. Some of it, in a pretty unpleasant voting experience. And then so now I'm voting 2024. I go back, and this time, Murphy did not restrict me. I asked him, okay, so are you still restricting people from being able to film themselves while they're inside the voting ring? And he said, no longer are we going to restrict you from doing that. We ask that you not film other people. So now that was a huge improvement.
Nice. So what do you think changes their minds about stuff like this? Like, I think in the courthouses, definitely people going into film court cases happening has not really changed their minds, as in they personally feel differently about it. They still hate that people go in there and film their dastardly proceedings, but eventually they feel that they have to allow it. It kind of sounds like your activism has done a little bit of that, where they feel like they have to, for whatever reason, allow you to film in the polling places. What do you think about that? Why do you think that change happens?
Yeah, it's partly me, but also it's a lot of it is probably due to Mark Manchin, who actually really does a lot more stuff than I do in terms of going in and filming where you're supposedly not supposed to film. You know, he's more of a First Amendment auditor. I'm just kind of filming whatever is convenient, you know, and whatever's on my route, you know, but he will go all over the place. And he does a lot more videos, gets a lot more hits.
He does a lot more cops, though. I think that you're probably more influential as far as like a polling place. I don't know, though, but he mostly does like cops on the street.
Yeah, it would just be nice if more people just film what happens in front of them. You know, whenever you're going in to vote, why not just go ahead and document the thing on film and, you know, get it uploaded.
It's so strange how some people react to being filmed in public, though. I feel like that whole, it's great activism in general, just for like relation with the public, because they need to realize that when they're in public, they can be filmed. I don't know why. I'm really passionate that they need to realize that, because I did some Robin Hooding with Breaking the Flaw. He's on YouTube as Breaking the Flaw. And I was going around with my camera. It's a big, obvious camera, you know, not just like my iPhone. And filming the streets, like for some kind of like B-roll for my video I was intending to make. I never ended up making it. But anyways, a woman walked by and I kind of put my camera down just because I was not getting her my shot. And she was like, yeah, thanks. Don't film me.
That's
and I was
rude. Just like, yeah, that feels like a rude response from her.
Well, yeah, it was definitely rude. And I was just like, yeah. What? I was just doing that to like not get you in my... I didn't say anything because she just walked right past. You know, that's kind of like a cowardly thing to do, like say something, but you're already like gone before I even realize what you said to me.
Yeah.
You know, like don't, no stopping and being like, yeah, that's right. Don't.
Yeah.
Phone
it's
me.
Like passive aggressive.
It is. And it's also cowardly.
And
opinion.
It's strange because you were trying to be polite, like you were doing something and then you know what I mean? Like you were trying to do a polite thing and she was still.
I mean, it was really more
it.
That I didn't want her in my B-roll. She's like walking right in front of my camera. That's the other thing. Like you're walking in front of my camera, lady. Like you could go around me. It's just so weird how people think they have a right to not be filmed in public. They don't have that right. You're in public. You can ask.
That's why.
I mean, all the security cameras are recording you.
She's probably logged right into TikTok. It's like recording her every
her face ID on her iPhone.
Yeah. These people are just so dumb, and I really don't like that. The other thing about it is it's like there's something inhuman about it. Like. People just like think that they can live in their own little bubbles without like connecting to the people around them.
I do. Yeah, there is something to be said for that. But I do know people who prefer to not be on camera at all. Like I literally know people who like if there's a group photo and they're in it, they will turn around so their face isn't in the photo. Some people, for whatever reason, I think it's a little extra.
Right,
but for whatever reason, like or people are really into that with their like young children, they don't want them on social media at all. Which I get the social media thing, but a lot of people they're like, "Do not photograph my kid." They will freak out if you try to photograph their kid, even if it's just in the background or something. Some people are really into not wanting to be on camera.
That's
but it's
thing, though, like, just don't freak out. Just go up to the person and explain
like politely,
to them.
Yeah.
Because like even like the First Amendment auditors like Ian filming in public usually try not to film kids just because the mom's going to freak out for one thing. And for another thing, it's like irrelevant. Doesn't really matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling, TJ?
I'm just thinking like, you know, like part of me is like, you know, I want to take these Karen moms and just go up with a camera, one of those old stashing camera.
Oh,
and
no.
Go to a playground.
Oh, that will God. Go over
No. A playground at a K through 6 school, a public school, and just go like when they're out there playground, just start at the fence line.
Gosh.
There might be, you know, charges for that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like if they're at school, they're not allowed to go anywhere else. I don't know if it's
your
really
husband
insane.
Is very
school.
Good at coming up with these ways to irritate the powers that be, like the drinking game. The
okay,
city
but don't put Ian and that idea in the same. Ian has never had an idea to go take pictures of children at a middle school or elementary school. Just to be clear,
okay,
but
yes,
because that's already a joke about him. What were you going to say about the drinking game, though?
Oh, the drinking game, that was funny because it's like every time they say raise taxes or something, you have to take a drink and everybody's getting hammered. And they had to stop the whole thing.
But some people just had water in their beer cans.
In their beer cans, right. But they had to stop the whole thing and say, you have to leave. And no, and so you got arrested. And
oh, jeez.
They didn't have labels on their beer cans either, so they don't know what's in them. They're just a certain shape. You're not allowed to drink from a certain shape.
Yeah.
Could be soda, right? That's like the same thing.
Right.
Or like, you could have an alcoholic beverage in like a Mountain Dew bottle, and you'd never be the wiser if there was vodka in there.
Yeah.
But they stopped a Keene City Council meeting in the middle of it just to try to kick Ian and Sam Dodson and other people out for taking a drink every time they said raise taxes or something like that.
We need to bring that back. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, with cannabis, like nobody wants to smoke cannabis, the flower, because it's in a public spot because it stinks up the whole room. Mm-hmm. And
Riley says, I'll do it.
Yes.
At the cop shop, whatever.
But
you
got
that.
The waxes and then you got the CO2 vape oil here, which is the best way, I think, because it's discreet like a e-cigarette, and you know, doesn't run out like the wax pen where you have to constantly refill it with the wax. And so I thought, like, maybe we could go to a City of Keene Hall town meeting and just smoke up right in the middle with our vape pens. And, like, I smoke these in remembrance of lost liberties and yearn for a day, you know, the whole Rich Paul nobody routine.
Yeah, that would be a great one. Riley is actually, well, he's planning a 420 event outside of the state capitol this April 20th. So definitely make it to that April 20th here in New Hampshire, in Concord, New Hampshire. But also, he does a 420 in Keene, and at some point we're going to take it from Railroad Square to in front of the cop. What do you call that? I keep saying cop shop. The police station.
Yeah, police.
I always want to say cop.
That's where I
You're
thought
like
about
the
doing
gang
it.
Headquarters.
Yeah.
What is it really called?
Yeah, the pig pen.
Because you remember when they arrested nobody for the 420 rallies, a bunch of potheads went down to the police station, were lighting up their bongs right in the middle of the police station. Saying,
inside of it.
Inside the police station. There's no smoking. You go in, there's just a big, thick fog.
That's
of
funny.
And they didn't arrest anyone for doing that because
really?
They just couldn't, you know, pinpoint anyone. I think they were, like, too intimidated.
That's really funny. They could probably benefit from some, like, contact high.
Is that all you had to say today, Ridley? Oh, looks
well,
like...
thank you for mentioning Joe... you know, breaking the law. And we also have to remember, you know, Jason Gerhardt and another guy.
Oh, yeah, Footloose. They have a trial coming up on April 9th in the Concord Federal Courthouse for filming in the federal courthouse lobby. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160.
Hey. You are going to love the movie Victimless Crime Spree. It's hilarious, heartwarming, and carries a ton of inspiring freedom messages. Feeling down about the lack of liberty in your life? You need to put on this film with some friends and have a good laugh. It's a true story about me and my friends in New Hampshire living free, singing, dancing, and getting arrested. Of course, it's all on video, and the bad guys, the cops, judges, bailiffs, and sheriffs, they all play their part like it's out of a movie or something. You would think we scripted the whole thing, but it's real life. Go ahead and have a watch, and if it's been a while, have another look. I guarantee you'll notice things now that you didn't notice before. And the best part is that you're going to walk away feeling a renewed sense of your own power. You are the master of your destiny, and you will be free in your lifetime. Victimless Crime Spree.
Free Talk Live.
And so in an effort for there to not be dead air, I'm just going to, my bad. So something went awry with our bumper music there, but this is still Free Talk Live and we should still be on the air. And sorry for making that noise happen in your ears. I'm glad TJ noticed it. But Free Talk Live is a show about liberty and morality as we see it as libertarians, and we're on the air 7 nights a week, and 603-283-6160 is the number you can call to bring up whatever's on your mind, like Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com just did in last segment. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And we have a lot of different topics we're going to get into tonight on the show. But one of them that some of us are interested in, all libertarians are basically interested in this idea that education shouldn't be something the government's in charge of, to where they basically just, you know, mind control your children and they don't really learn how to think.
Well, here's what I've noticed. Like, as a mathematician, it kind of irks me, but we had the new math in the 70s to try and teach kids how to do the new math.
And, really?
Yeah. So there was a whole thing to, you know, kids are going to learn the new way of doing math.
Yeah.
I knew that happened to Common Core recently. Well,
then there was No Child Left Behind. And yeah. I remember there was this big red barn that they put in front of the Department of Education on Constitution Avenue. And I would walk by it, you know, when I would be in D.C. And it's like, that's what changed. And then when Obama got elected, the big red barn came down and Common Core came in. And I said, there's, you know, we've spent more and more money to teach kids math, and the kids get worse and worse
We
spend on it.
And it's really not that difficult to teach mathematical concepts. It doesn't take very much time if it's taught in the correct way. But for some reason, the public school system just can't figure it out.
I think they're making it harder than it has to be. If you've ever seen the Common Core stuff, like I looked at my little sister's Common Core homework, and it's more confusing by a long shot than just teaching people the normal 2 + 2 = 4 and multiplication, blah, blah, blah.
I think there's that. And then in my opinion, I think a lot of the public school teachers are just not very good at presenting these topics to children.
They're stupid.
You know what I mean? It's like,
they're dumber than the kids.
Yeah. And it's like, if you look at Liberty Classroom or whatever Ron Paul's thing is, like if you look at some of those, like just basic, like arithmetic and algebra, like his basic classes on stuff like math, it's like, yes, this is how you can present a topic in like 20 minutes.
Have you checked it out, any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and I actually just read Ron Paul's book on...
And the Fed?
I've read that book, but no, I read his book specifically on schooling.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it was called.
I don't know.
But it was really good. And he's preaching to the choir, because obviously I'm already like a fan of homeschooling and like alternative schooling and anything besides public schooling. But it's a very like simple and straightforward, like quick read that is like really just presents the topic of why there needs to be a major shift in schooling and why public schooling is just like drastically failing kids.
Hmm.
So
that sounds like definitely something some people should check out if they are just on the fence about the idea. But this article from fee.org, that's the Foundation for Economic Education.org, says a robust education marketplace means some schools will fail. And some people are terrified of the idea of businesses failing or schools failing. Like that's just immediately a bad thing. But honestly, it's a healthy thing.
You know, I had a joke of the public school teachers. They said, you know, my students are acing the tests. And the principal comes in and has a frowny face and says, teacher, if your students are doing so well and getting straight A's and they're crushing the exams, why on earth would the state give us more money next year?
That's a good point.
You need to get these students failing and failing fast.
That's such a great point. They're always saying, we need more money to make sure that these kids do better on the freaking standardized tests.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's like, why would we continue to give you more money for them to do a worse job? Like, that just doesn't make sense.
They're all tenured and they don't care about doing any better, you know?
Well, and it's like the whole system, too. It's not even just the public school teachers. I mean, it's the whole entire public school system. And even a good public school teacher, which there aren't very many, but like the few that are good and want to actually teach children something useful, they're not allowed to because they have to crank, you know what I mean? Like it's so focused on these standardized tests and all of the curriculum is, you know, basically fed to them. They can't even come up with their own lessons. So it's even, you know, a teacher that wants to be innovative and do a better job, they really can't.
Even then, I don't know if I'd want some person, you know, coming up with their own stuff for the kids. It's just like, why don't people want to teach their own kids? I think most of them, it's because it's unplanned pregnancies. But.
Well, yeah, I think people think that they're not qualified to teach their own children, which, if you think about it, if public school failed someone so horribly that they feel like they are unfit to educate their own children, why would they ever send their kid to that same public school?
Yeah, that's a good
point.
That
just doesn't make any sense at all. And with, so the Ron Paul book is called The School Revolution. Highly recommend it. It's a very easy read, quick read. But Ron Paul, and specifically, since we're talking about him, has free curriculum, I think, until 6th or 9th grade.
Wow, it's free?
It's free, and it's online school, so it's, like, literally all you need is Wi-Fi and a laptop. And, of course, like, for children, for the first few years of life, like, you're going to need a little bit more hands-on instruction. But by the time a kid is, like, 8 years old, they should be able to independently,
like, log in,
teach themselves and log in. Like, they will be able to figure that out very quickly.
Like, it's never been easier to be educated. Growing up in my day, when in the 80s, you know, the VHS, like, I wanted to learn Spanish. And I asked my mom for these VHS, learn, teach your kids Spanish tapes. And, you know, they're $300.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's so amazing now, and I would have died to have YouTube where it's like, hey, not only do I have one Spanish lesson, I have 500 different Spanish teachers all wanting to teach me Spanish from around the world, and they're teaching it for free.
Yeah.
And it's never been easier to be educated, and it's kind of paradoxical. The kids are getting dumber each year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like the use of the internet has been funneled into social media.
Yeah. Because growing up, it was really hard to be educated if you were poor because, you know, Johnny had the encyclopedia set and parents could take him to the library. And
I know you're really jealous of Johnny, but let's keep it on topic.
We were kind of poor growing up, you know, and so, you know, everything we had, it was, you know, like I went to college on a scholarship because my parents didn't have the money to send me to college. So,
yeah,
I wonder if kids even come out with IQs like you anymore.
Oh, I'm sure they did. There are. Here's the thing. I am not that rare.
Yes, you are.
I mean, you know, in a group of 10,000 people, I might be in the top 5. But there's, you know, that's
pretty rare. Somebody, what percentage is that?
Somebody once said, if you're a once in a million kind of guy in China, congratulations, there's 1,000 of you.
Right.
Nice. Well, what percentage is 5 out of 10,000?
1 in 2,000, or roughly 99.95 percentile.
See, I just proved that he's smart.
So,
I feel like this is all part of my master plan. But yeah, you are right, TJ. It is. It's never been easier to be self-educated. And especially, I mean, kids pick up technology so easily.
Right.
And I mean, it was proven, like the first big one was Khan Academy. And that was another math one where it was just a guy tutoring kids.
Well,
it started as
his cousin or his cousin, I believe, needed help with high school algebra. And he started doing the whole black on, you know, the writing with the voice of God and the scribbles.
Yeah.
And he just set that up and away it went.
Yeah. So basically he was making really good videos and people were saying, the people he was tutoring were like, wow, these are really, really helpful. This is really helping me. So he created a website. And now, I mean, it stems beyond math now.
Mm.
I mean, he has, there's like entrepreneur classes on there. There's like how to start your own business. I'm sure there's a ton of other like liberal arts style classes on there as well, like English, history, whatever. But all of those classes are free.
When I was a kid, I was homeschooled until 3rd grade, and my mom just basically looked online for like printout things and also like workbooks like that she would buy. She'd buy workbooks and like go off of the book. Like, you know, she didn't have to already know. I mean, that was a very young level, so she probably did already know most of that stuff, but she didn't even have to remember like, oh yeah, I got to teach them this. Yes. Yeah. Or this next, because she had the book to go off of, and it's like, I just don't see what's so hard about it.
Well, also, the economy is so bad that most households need 2 incomes. So a lot of people, you know, a lot of moms, usually it's the mom that's doing the homeschooling, right? Usually both parents need to work. I'm a firm believer that if there's a will, there's a way. And I work from home. I run 2 businesses from home. I mean, I'm sure the average person wouldn't be able to do that. But like I said, Khan Academy and Ron Paul like have free classes that you can even take as an adult on how to start your own business and how to be, you know, like entrepreneur type videos. So if somebody really cared about their kids' education, and didn't want to send them to public school and wanted to be able to be present with their children, raise their children themselves, if that was really a priority for somebody, you can make it work. I mean,
what can you stop spending money on? Like, do you buy beer every month?
Well, and it's not even just that. I mean, you can, like I said, you can work from home. I mean, there are tons of jobs where you can work from home. Yeah, it might not be able to be like a 40-hour a week full-time position because, yes, you will need to tend to your children. And that isn't always a really easy thing to multitask, like working while homeschooling, while like cooking lunch and doing all of those things that are necessary for childcare.
That sounds more fulfilling than sending them off to daycare and you go into a corporate job.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything more terrifying than sending my little baby to be cared for by someone else.
That doesn't care about them.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we hear all these stories about, like, daycare, like, babies, literal babies being, like, sexually assaulted at daycare or abused or whatever. And then I, you know, personally, I had a horrible experience in public school. So I just can't imagine subjecting my children to that. And I know not everybody has those experiences in public school, but
or they're just not thinking about them correctly because it's so normal.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you could fix a lot of the problems in public school if you just changed one thing, if you made attendance voluntary.
Yeah.
If you told the kids, look, if you don't want to be here, you do not have to show up. And when you come back, when you want to learn, I'll be here waiting.
Yeah.
But instead, you're like, no, you're going to come to school and you're going to sit here and you're going to learn X equal negative B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC all over 2A. That's the quadratic formula.
Oh.
But so, you know, we're going to teach these kids a bunch of stuff that they're never, ever going to use because, trust me, I'm a mathematician. I'm outside of a very few rare circles. I don't go to a party and be like, hey, I'm a mathematician. Did you know that integral z squared dz from 1 to the cube root of 3 times the cosine of 3 pi over 9
What's
equals natural log of the cube root of e? What? That's a limerick.
That's a poem?
Yeah, it's a poem and it's true.
Okay. I thought it was another thing, like the quadratic formula or something.
Yeah. No. So you got to know calculus and trigonometry and natural logarithms.
But your point is being made that you don't necessarily need to get to know the most complicated parts of it. Like, a mom is not going to have to teach their child something like that.
And hence where Khan Academy comes in, because my dad said to me, I remember in seventh grade, I brought my pre-algebra homework, and he said, son, I don't understand this XYZ stuff at all. You're on your own. And so from seventh grade on, and mom was helpless, I pretty much had to do my own homework, and because dad didn't understand algebra and certainly didn't understand calculus and trigonometry and all that stuff.
So, I mean, but if you have the book,
yeah,
I mean, you can, the book is meant to help children learn, right?
But that's kind of like
and it's been helping children learn for thousands of, well, hundreds of years, you know, since it's been invented.
Well, books,
yes. They've been helping people learn because you didn't have to learn something firsthand, or you didn't have to have someone show you.
Yeah. Or tell you.
Instead, you could get a book and say, ah, readie, and learn.
Well, and there is evidence that you can learn quicker from a book. Reading books are more efficient, a more efficient tool to learn and to be taught something than lecture, because on average a person can only pay attention to a lecture that's being, you know, given by any teacher for roughly 25 minutes. Anything after 25 minutes is usually lost. They stop paying attention. They need some sort of break.
I think that's probably at least on average. I totally believe that, because my favorite teachers were the ones that would stand up there and lecture, and I learned the best that way, and I noticed that other kids complained about that, couldn't pay attention. I didn't even need to take notes. I think that my learning style is just kind of like conversational, but
yeah.
I totally agree that most people are not that way, like that they learn better maybe from reading, watching, doing something like that more.
Well, and there's different learning styles, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like if you're homeschooled, your mom can figure that out and tailor things for you. But we do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to let them hop in with their thoughts. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's in your mind?
Hey, Bonnie. You need to stop equating liberty with morality.
No.
Because they're far from... Because it's not, you can't just declare it so.
Yes, I can. It's immoral to impose your will on others when they don't want it. Plain and simple.
And where'd you get that? You just make that up?
No, it's something that your mom would have taught you when you were a child if she wasn't a piece of crap.
So whose mom is a moral authority?
I'm not just saying that she's a moral authority. It's just something that people learn by living their lives.
It's called religion, Bonnie.
No, it's not. I'm not saying that it is moral because it's written in a book. It's moral because we learn it by interacting with the world around us.
By someone who read it in a book, okay.
I said I did not say that. Okay, bye. I don't talk to people who don't listen. You're just such a retard.
Who was that? Was that Dave in New York? Or?
No.
That's Scooter. Skeeter. Scrotum.
Yeah, that's...
Squidward.
For some reason, I thought I couldn't say retard. Retard. I can say retard. I almost stopped myself like I was going to have to get dumped. I don't have a stutter.
He's a heckler. He's a heckler that I've never heard before.
He's really annoying. Yeah, I should have let you talk to him longer, but he's just really annoying.
Well, I was about to confess my sins as a born again Christian. I was about to tell everybody about how I'm a sinner and I have come to Jesus and found him. And no, that's a serious. People...
Skeeter, you can call back in if you want because I did hang up on you kind of prematurely.
No.
It's just annoying.
No.
We don't need him back.
Okay, never mind. It's just that I literally said something and he repeated back the opposite of what I said. And that's like, I don't want to talk to you when you're being that way. When you just want to have a fight so bad that you're arguing against something I didn't even say. In fact, the opposite of what I said. I said it's not immoral because it's written in a book that it's immoral. You learn it by interacting with the world around you, even as a child. If you're not like locked in a basement, that's probably why Skeeter's in his mom's basement. His mom locked him in there and not have to deal with him all his childhood.
He forgot about it. That's all he knows.
Yeah. Sorry, Skeeter. I changed my mind. I'm not picking back up. They said they don't want to talk to you. But what were you going to say about morality and Christianity, TJ?
Oh, I was just going to say, he was going to say it's called religion. I was like, oh, well, it's good. We got the whole of the Shire Free Church. We got a whole bunch of religions here.
Yeah. So, I am religious. And it's
the prophet of Bitcoin coming through Satoshi Nakamoto and spreading peace and liberty through Bitcoin.
Right.
And
spreading freedom that way.
I mean, that would be the whole thing. Like, if I was Mr. Sisti at the trial, I would have said, Mr. Freeman, can you explain your mission to the court?
Right.
And I would have just said, well, yeah, it's to spread peace and liberty through Bitcoin because Bitcoin is a thing of good. To get it into the hands of as many people as possible is a good thing.
It definitely should have been explained a lot better and more clearly, like what you're saying, to the jury so they could understand, oh, there's not a shrine in the studio.
Yeah, there's not a shrine. There was IRS BS in the folder.
There's a folder labeled IRS BS.
So what was... There was a shrine mentioned?
So they...
I must have not been there that day.
They were trying to claim that the Shire Free... So this is the trial of Ian Freeman versus the United States back in December 2022, and which the jury ultimately convicted him of money laundering, conspiracy to money launder, and...
operation of an unlicensed money business.
Yes.
Money transmission business. Conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmission business. And 4 counts tax evasion.
Yes. And so they were asking the IRS agent who was here during the raid, they asked her multiple questions to try, the prosecution did, to try to prove, quote unquote, in their eyes,
right,
that the Shire Free Church was not a real church or that we weren't actually religious about what the stuff we believe in.
Right, because that's something an IRS agent would be an expert at.
Right, so they asked her, was there any religious imagery or a shrine in the studio? Like, how many churches even have a shrine? Like, it's not a Buddhist temple. We actually have a peace flag here in the studio. I'm wearing a shirt that says,
use crypto, stop wars.
Thank you. I was like, wait, I can't read upside down.
So in hindsight, when the FBI crashed through the front door, you could have had a, hallelujah, hallelujah, sell Bitcoin. Ah, brother, you want to get some Bitcoin, you got to come down and believe in Satoshi Nakamoto.
Oh, my God.
You could have something like that, and...
You out crazy the crazies, and that's how you get rid of them. I think that is a great idea, and we should totally do that next time.
Next time, yeah. Aww. Be prepared. We have the whole house wired for cameras and sound before they smash them.
We should do that. Like, I don't really want that set up in my house that much. Like, that could be hacked into, but I almost do want to have that for next time there's a raid, if there ever is. I'm sure it'll be in March, so watch out, you guys.
Knowing your husband, I'm sure he'll make it happen somehow.
Hopefully not.
From prison?
No, once he gets out, I'm sure he'll come up with some stunt that'll get the feds ire and...
I'm just kind of trying to stay like on the down low, minus like going on national radio and talking about things.
Good vibes only.
Yeah, because I
we've already saged the space. It's fine. All of the demons in the bad.
I actually did.
What was I even saying? Fed vibes are all gone. Yeah,
I actually did, because I didn't like sense any bad energy here, but I just thought about it, like a really terrible thing with really terrible people happened here. So I saged the whole space.
Well, it's just
all the
like
windows.
I wouldn't invite some like gross fed person into my house, you know what I mean, like someone with like that level of malicious intent. And how many, there were like 50 people here, and they all, you're just gonna say it, had malicious intent. I mean, they came here to attack people, so even just having like, I wouldn't invite someone like that into my house. You probably wouldn't invite someone willingly like that into your house.
Talk about immorality.
Yeah, and it's like, with that, they just carry this, like, heaviness and just, like, this gross energy. And
your
that
husband,
needs to be cleansed.
Who was here during the raid, agreed with me. We both met face-to-face with that woman who said, no, I didn't see a shrine, the one that they were asking.
Special Agent Katie TiVo.
Yeah, and we agree that she has demons in her.
Probably, yeah. She's probably possessed.
Seriously,
most of
like,
them probably are.
The way she had a Jekyll and Hyde personality, where she came up acting very nice to me and then was just like, what is the Bitcoin embassy for? Or not, she didn't even say the Bitcoin embassy. So why do libertarians go to the Mighty Moose Mart? Just like really scary,
like,
and rude
to buy
suddenly.
Soda? I don't know.
That's what I said. I was like, it's a convenience store. What do you mean? And then
like, why does everybody else go
that's,
there?
That's
you,
the
yeah.
thing I
weirdo.
Keep going back, because like, I will tell people, you know, they will try and trick you. They'll threaten you. Mm-hmm. They'll promise you. They'll be sweet to you. The only thing you should ever say to a federal agent is, I have nothing to say. I'd love to talk to you, but I'd like to speak to my attorney first. I wish to invoke my right to have a counsel present. That's the end. And they should immediately stop questioning you and let you contact your attorney.
That's great advice. Everybody should do that. I wish I knew to say that at the time. I was keeping in mind not to talk to them, but they came up holding my dog.
Yes,
and she was
that's
like,
gangster right there when you threaten Coconut and say you're going to put him in the pound where he's going to be euthanized.
Yeah, gangster in a bad way, like not gangster like cool, not bad like cool, bad like bad.
She is a perfect example of how the FBI has no physical fitness standards anymore.
Oh yeah,
holy cow.
She was so fat. Oh, yeah. It looks like we're off the air in a few seconds. So 603-283.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way,
love as your guide,
and liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. That's social.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And tonight we have been kind of riffing and going off about why homeschooling is just so much better than public school. We haven't even gotten into this article yet by the Foundation for Economic Education, saying that a robust education marketplace means some schools will fail. And is that terrifying and bad?
Not necessarily. I mean, failure, like businesses, you know, when a business fails and people lose their jobs, people are distraught. But that's the free market's way of cleansing itself of businesses that shouldn't be there.
It's like you have a house plant, you love your house plant, you don't want it to die, then you want to pull off all the dead leaves.
Yeah.
You don't want
to
leave them there to kill
it. Or else it'll kill the rest of the plant, and that's exactly what's happening, especially with public school, since this is what is teaching and educating the future generations, and that's why we're at a point right now where, and I do think it is a purposeful thing to make people, just to be blunt, dumb, easy to control, mm-hmm. cogs in the machine.
NPCs.
But yeah, that's like what we're seeing. I mean, like 1 in 5 people, statistically, 1 in 5 high school graduates are functionally illiterate. And, you know, so.
And they're also enumerate. That's the equivalent in mathematics when they can't do simple arithmetic like addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
That's probably rising so hard with the advent of Common Core, because that makes no sense to me. Common Core is so confusing. It's much more confusing than normal math. It's like, which of these 5 answers is the correct answer? All 5 of them are correct, by the way. It's five, two, six, and eight.
Because to me, math, black and white.
Yeah.
There's a right and there is a wrong.
And there's something almost nice about that to a lot of kids. Like, TJ is a mathematician, so probably when you were in school and math was your favorite subject, there was something you liked about getting the answer, right?
I was never any good at throwing a ball or running. And so math and computer science was the one thing I excelled at and was very, very good at it. And not just very good at it, but I also put a lot of time and effort into research or to studying those topics because I was fascinated by them. And in hindsight, I really don't think I needed public school, because the one thing you learn in public school is how your life would suck without the government.
Hmm.
The government is without the government, your life would be total hell, and that, you know, they do everything that's important in life.
Yeah, well, there's the indoctrination, right?
That's the indoctrination. And so public school, I think about it, and 13 years of my life was spent there, and they dropped $250,000 on my public school education, $25,000 a year times, you know, 13 years, more or less, so $325,000.
I firmly believe that most of the useful skills I have and most of like the knowledge, like the useful knowledge that I have and that I have currently retained, I taught myself after I left high school.
Right. Or even like during high school, but like on your off at time.
Yeah.
Like, who was it recently that was talking about how, I was having a conversation with just one of my neighbors and we were talking about like the indoctrination socially that we went through in public school, and how since I was homeschooled kindergarten to third grade, which I would say, I just kind of noticed it. It's like the other kids were like fish in water. They don't recognize they're in the water. So they're just playing out their programming socially, and I could notice it and be like, why are they acting this way? Not like judging them. I wasn't like some kind of like savant or something. It's just something I was able to notice that they couldn't, like the way that they interacted with each other. And my neighbor I was talking to when I said that, he said he always felt like a summer break when he came back, it was like a reset, so he could kind of start to notice like the new social programming the other kids had picked up on and were acting out. It's like you learn when you're forced to just be in this environment of all kids your age to act a very strange way.
And Colin pointed that out. He said it's very artificial because nowhere else in our lives do we interact with people who are just all our same age.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the store, you got people who are older, you got people who are younger.
Yeah.
And work.
Work, people who are older, people who are younger. And so like learning how to interact with different age groups is very important, a skill set to learn. And I think that's destroyed by public school, by teaching everybody in the 10th grade has to learn the same thing.
Yeah.
Whether they're gifted or whether they're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that I lost my train of thought. Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, but no, that is so true. And, you know, with a lot of these, there's like unschooling style schools. Like there's the Shrewsbury School in Massachusetts, which is like the famous one. Hmm. But essentially, like, so they have that like one room schoolhouse vibe where, you know, the kids have a lot more freedom and there's a lot of age mixing. And what they've noticed in that school in particular is, and Peter Gray talks about this in his unschooling book. But what they notice is the older kids will find like a younger kid to essentially mentor. And it's just a natural phenomenon that happens. Like older kids, they like, a lot of them probably have younger siblings. They like interacting with the younger siblings. Younger kids look up to older kids. They have so much to teach them. And even within those relationships, children, young and older, are able to learn so much more and have so much more of a robust education. And then there's also, you know, like when you have a bunch of 16-year-olds all in the same class, you're going to have the kids that aren't learning as fast. Like you're going to have like the lower percentages of the kids that aren't getting it as quickly, aren't grasping the concepts that are being taught as quickly. And then you have the kids who get it right away and are super bored in the class. So when you're age mixing, it gives the kids that are kind of falling behind, it gives them more time to catch up naturally mm-hmm. without having to rush through concepts and just not never learn them and not understand them.
And who, if you're like falling behind, you're failing class, who wants to go to the teacher and be like, I don't get this.
Yeah,
like
it's instead embarrassing.
Of like somebody that's just like a few years older yeah. than you and you're like, hey, well, you get this.
Well. And Ron Paul talks about this in his book where it's better for someone. So like, say if I just took a college course on like whatever, I just took Algebra 1, right? It's easier for me to teach. If Bonnie's taking Algebra 1 now and she's like, I'm really not getting this, it is more efficient and easier for me to teach Bonnie Algebra 1 because I just learned that material for the first time. A teacher who knows well beyond Algebra 1 and has been, yeah, they've been teaching Algebra 1 for a long time, but it's easier. Like I know I have that empathy because it was just last semester or just last month, whatever, I was learning Algebra 1 for the first time. So it's so much easier for me to teach those concepts to you.
It's like fresh in your brain.
And it's like I remember what it took for me to learn those concepts. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of value in that as well. And that's like part of the tutoring model where you have same age or similar age peers versus like this hierarchy of like adult teaching children.
Yeah.
Of course, people ask me, like, why learn mathematics? I say, well, why learn anything? And I like to point out that unlike money, silver, gold, other tangible property, when you put knowledge in your head, the government can't steal it from you. So if you learn...
Just like when you put 24 words in your head.
Yeah, if you put 24 words for your seed phrase in your head, then you got the keys to all your wallets, so... Your Bitcoin wallets.
Instead of carrying a giant Santa Claus sack of gold on your back.
Yeah, exactly.
But go ahead about math. Sorry, I derailed you there. Why learn math?
Why learn anything? Well, if you put it in your head, the government can't steal it from you. So if you learn how to cut a tree down with a chainsaw, that's a skill you'll always have, and you'll be able to use it to make money if you so choose. So I like to tell young kids, like, why do we learn this math stuff? I say, well, so you can tell when people are lying to you. And it makes it very easy if you're good at math. You can tell when the car salesman is like, well, you can afford this nice, you know, I think we're so used to people lying with words that we know they do it. But it's very rare that people are able to lie with numbers. And if you're good with numbers, you can spot the lie in the contract.
That's a great point. I never thought of it that way. But it is true. Matt, my husband, is a little bit quicker on his feet when it comes to numbers than I am. And he'll be able to do like certain math like that, like percentages really quickly in his head compared to me. So if we were, you know, in a similar, like we're buying a car, he would be able to be like, no, that's not like he would be able to spot the lie in a situation like that. Like, he'd be able to pick that out quicker than I would be. Like, I would have to, like, think about it and, like, maybe, like, pull out a calculator or something, or a little piece of paper and a pencil.
Learning a lot of different subjects, not just math, is that is often the benefit, is because you know something instead of having to rely on somebody else to, like, to trust them that they're not lying to you about whatever the subject is.
Yeah, that's true freedom.
Well, you know it now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and there's this, like, weird thing. I saw this, like, comedy skit, but it was very true, where this guy was like, before COVID, doing your own research was just, like, known as reading. You know what I mean? It wasn't, like, this big thing where you're, like, going against the experts and, like, how dare you? Like, what do you think? You're a doctor? You're a scientist? And it's like, no, before it was just researching. Like, it was just a more of a normal thing to do. It wasn't, like, this big deal, right? And I think that's so true. And I think there is a lot of power in not just blindly trusting the quote-unquote experts and actually looking into things for yourself and just learning any sort of skills, reading books, listening to podcasts. Like, I think there's a lot of value that we can get from people who aren't necessarily, like, scholars. That, you know, like, you don't need a master's degree or, like, a, you know, you don't need a doctorate from Harvard to be able to teach somebody something. And I think that's complete crap to pretend that, like, we can't learn anything from, I mean, like, I learn stuff from children, you know what I mean? Like, you can learn stuff in so many different situations.
To take it back to homeschooling, I think that a lot of people think they can't homeschool their kids because they, like you said, they think they're unqualified, but it's really the root cause is that there is this learned helplessness in society that's really, really bad, to the point that, like, people think, oh, I could never do X, Y, and Z. Like, I used to just think I could never cut my hair. Like, I have to go to somebody to get my hair cut, even though, like, I don't necessarily want a crazy cut. I want just the ends trimmed off. Now, I did that today just because one day I was like, no, I want to learn that. I just started doing it myself. And for whatever reason, I used to think that was something I could never do. Like, I would have to be, like, born talented or go to school for it. Like, I don't really think of other things that way, but there are just some things. And, like, now, if the grid goes down, I'll be able to cut my hair because I know how to do it.
Well, there's a lot of outsourcing that happens. And I think people in general used to be a lot more self-sufficient. It was less than 100 years ago, and people were growing the majority of their own food in their backyard. Like, farming, local farming was much bigger. Instead of going to a grocery store, you would go to your neighbor's house, and, you know, if my neighbors have cows and I have an abundant vegetable garden, I'm trading you cucumbers for milk or whatever. Like, that used to be more of a thing where, like, within our communities and just even at home, like, we were a lot more self-sufficient. And people just started outsourcing more and more and more with healthcare, with food, with water, with electricity, with clothing, with haircuts, like, everything. Like, we pretty much used to do all of that
and
ourselves.
And now I need a license for every single thing, including haircuts.
Yeah, like, imagine needing a license to cut somebody's hair or do their nails. Like,
they
that's
do.
Insane.
It's so stupid.
That is insane.
It's just so stupid. I don't understand, but so as we were talking about, when something fails in a free market, it's actually a good thing. It just means the market didn't value it and something new can take its place. This from the Freedom, what is it? The fee stands for Freedom Economic, wait, what the heck?
The Foundation
for Economic Education, fee.org. A robust education marketplace means some schools will fail. A couple of years ago, this is Carrie McDonald, was presenting at a small education conference in New York when someone asked what a success indicator might be for a dynamic, decentralized education marketplace. When we see some schools shutting down, I responded. In an education free market, parents are the customers. If they are not satisfied with a particular school's offerings, they can and will leave, just as they would stop using any other product or service that doesn't meet their expectations. If enough parents aren't satisfied and leave, the school will shut down. This is a signal of a vibrant, competitive educational marketplace. It is the ultimate accountability metric. And of course, like, this is just me talking now. If every school shut down, that would be a bad thing. It's just that people have, like, that connotation with businesses and things shutting down. They just imagine, oh, wait, everything's going to shut down. We're going to lose all schools know. It's like if your whole plant was dying, yeah, that's bad. If a mm-hmm. couple leaves are dying, you just pull them off.
Well, that's the thing. It's a new opportunity.
Right.
That's how I see it. It's a new opportunity.
And somebody will take that if you let them.
Well, you can imagine any other product where no matter how bad the quality of the product is, you're still forced to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great if you're going to a public school where the teachers are motivated and well-paid and the classrooms aren't dilapidated and running down. But
sometimes they are, and you're still forced to pay for it.
Yeah. And so, if you can't, can you imagine teachers who don't want to teach and you can't fire them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just what do you think is going to happen?
That is exactly what it is. Like, Nikki and I talk all the time about how there are these videos of public school teachers saying, I didn't realize that I'm going to be making minimum wage and I do all this. I do this and this and this and this and I don't make that much money. Okay, like, that would terrify me if that was my kid's teacher, because I would just know that they don't care. They're like, ugh, I don't get paid enough for this all day. They're not, you know, trying their hardest. And that's their own fault, but we could get into that another time.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, and this sounds mean, but in my opinion, public school teachers are just glorified babysitters.
Yeah, they are.
I've thought about getting my public school teaching license and teaching here in Keene, teaching the high school kids. And I could go into the belly of the beast and
take pictures at the playground.
Undercover.
No.
He's the undercover boss.
9 through 12. Thank you very much. Although 9th grade would be kind of like, ew, but, you know. Once I get to be about 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, that's...
What would you want to do undercover?
I would want to say, hey, the government's lying to you.
Hmm.
And I had
a teacher like that.
Yeah. And
one, ever.
Yeah. And so I'd say, I'd do my best to say, look, pass the test if you want. Don't pass the test if you want. I want you to try your hardest, but, you know, let's be honest, algebra, it's great to know, but I can't think of a single instance where I've been out in the supermarket or the car repair place and the guy said, hey, can you solve the quadratic equation for me?
Yeah.
That's just never happened. So all that algebra and trigonometry and calculus I learned, I'm glad I learned it, but I don't use it on a daily basis.
The other thing I think, but I don't really know, it is just a lot of stuff is fractal. Like, you'll find it makes sense when you're learning another. Okay, when you're learning a new subject, do you realize your knowledge of math has helped you to understand because it has a similar structure?
Oh, yes.
So it's like, that's what I mean by like the fractal nature of things. It's like once I learn something, the next thing I learn usually has given me some kind of a foundation. And now I understand it's like, oh, this is like that in the other subject, and I can understand new things better. So it says here, in an education-free market, parents are the customers. If they're not satisfied... Oh, I already read that part.
Oh, hold on. I just want to say, an education-free mm-hmm. market. So is that an education-free market, or is it an education-free market?
It's a free market for education.
Okay, thank you. I just was a little... I was like...
Sounds funny, yeah.
Yeah, where's the comma?
And yeah, or a hyphen. Education free market. It says, it's perhaps because the true accountability in the education system is so rare that when it does occur, schools dying off, it can prompt concern. That was the case with a new micro school in West Virginia that shuttered after just a few months in operation. Parents weren't happy with their children's program, so they demanded and received a refund, and the school was closed. It was an example of the market working well, not poorly. As the Nobel Prize-winning economist Friedrich Hayek wrote in The Road to Serfdom, our freedom of choice in a competitive society rests on the fact that if one person refuses to satisfy our wishes, we can turn to another. Beautiful.
Please don't tell me you read The Road to Serfdom.
I tried to, and that was so confusing.
It is so boring. I tried reading it, and I just said, oh, no, if you can read A Road to Serfdom and get through it, you're more of a nerd than I am.
That was one that I kept seeing when I first became a libertarian, so I was like, okay, I'll just read that one. I don't know why I chose it over, like, a Rothbard book or anything, but that's the one I chose, and I was like, yeah, no way. I can't pay attention. This is so confusing. But I did listen to Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. That one's more fun.
That's the one I recommend, yes.
And it's really, really easy to understand and digest. Like, I should probably listen to it again. I never, like, sat down and read
another
it.
Another one is Peter Schiff's How an Economy Grows and Why it Crashes.
I don't like him. I like him. But he also made me not buy Bitcoin in 2017, so.
Okay.
He's a gold bug.
Got some bad info there.
So silly. Just like gold and Bitcoin can coexist together. But we have Sarah from New Mexico on the line. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes. I just want to say that they had our sheriff, John Allen, wants to really go after the drag racers and speeders.
What did he do to them?
Well, they recently had another, some kid was 19 drag racing and they killed somebody on course. I think they're going to raise the fine or something from $100 to $1,000. And I mean, he talked about maybe taking away their property or taking away their cars or something.
If they kill someone, don't they go to prison if they kill someone with a car?
Yes, that would be vehicular manslaughter.
A $1,000 fine.
Yeah, I mean, before they kill somebody, I'm talking about if they catch them drag racing, if they're speeding like 100 miles, 95 miles, and they're drag racing with them. What they do around here is they have all these, they have like cars that block all of the four intersections, one through so people can't drive, and they do donuts in the middle of it at 12 midnight for fun.
Hmm. That's kind of sound fun.
That's so scary to me.
That's what goes on here in Albuquerque, and they drag race. And so if they catch them, that's what they're going to do.
Hang on, Sarah, if you have more to say about that. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can call in about whatever is on your mind, clearly. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. And 603-283-6160 is the number to call to get in line to speak your mind. 603-283-6160. We're going to go back to the phones in a second, but Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you had told us in the last segment that there's a mayor of your town in Albuquerque that apparently is cracking down on racers on the streets.
Sheriff John Allen, he's our sheriff in the county. And they finally want to do something about speeders. And it sounds like we're going to be getting more speeding cameras, and they're going to give out more tickets, you know, and so forth. But
I just think we've had this conversation so many times to explain to you. We don't really think it'll be effective, and all it's doing is ruining people's lives.
Well, you know what I've always seen? They talk about a good storm. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And it's always the same thing. I mean, it's never changed. I don't get excited about it. They say they're going to ticket. They're going to put more speeding camera. They're going to get after the. But what comes out of it? It's always next week somebody else is going to get T-boned and killed.
Sarah, these laws aren't really making a big difference, is it? Are they?
Making things more illegal
doesn't really seem to stop crime.
I just don't know. You know, that's why I'm bringing it up. I mean, if they're really going to do something about it, do something about it. Why just talk about it and then they're going to do something and then nothing happens? It's really frustrating here in New Mexico because they don't really do any enforcement. The good thing about it is they want to do something more preventative. You know, this whole talk about, well, charge the people after they kill somebody, after they really caused the crime, after they broke somebody's neck and a T-bone, well, and then put them in jail. I mean, it has nothing. It doesn't stop anybody in the future from drag racing. All those kids, 18, 19, they're going to still drag race. No matter, I mean, these people that go, they see these people that are put in jail, I think they get released, and they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep speeding because that doesn't stop anything.
I think it's interesting you're just figuring this out, Sarah, but we've told you this for a long time, and thank you for the call, but we've told you this for a long time that these laws that catch people after the fact don't do anything. We've told her a million times that these red light cameras that catch people speeding after the fact don't change anything, and she's just now figuring it out. But we do have another caller, or did you guys have anything to say about that to Sarah?
No, I'd rather not.
So we do have another caller on the line. We have Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, what's on your mind?
Well, on 7 November 1938, a 17-year-old gentleman by the name of Herschel Greenspan, he had a bone to pick with the German government because they deported his parents from Germany to Poland. And so he had moved to France. So he walked into the German embassy in Paris and asked to speak to a diplomat. And when a diplomat came out, a gentleman by the name of Ernst von Rath, the 17-year-old boy got shot and mortally wounded the diplomat, and this led to reprisals that the Nazis in Germany, they didn't like that, and they welcomed this excuse for retaliation against the Jews, you see, because the Jews shot the diplomat. One Jewish boy shot a diplomat, and so that's the first part of the real nasty stuff was Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass. Where the cops in plain clothes went and smashed a lot of store windows and stuff like that. But that's not the way it works in America. Let me tell you the difference between Nazi Germany and America. Now, on 14 February of 2018, a 19-year-old man walked into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, and he carried out a mass shooting. And in America, they don't deal with mass shootings by reprisals and retaliation against everybody who happens to be the same religion as the person who commits the homicides. That was down in Florida where the attack happened. The Rhode Island legislature, mega meters away, passed a law banning the sale of guns to people younger than 21 because the man who carried out the attack was 19.
Okay, what's your point here? I'm getting really lost.
In America, they don't go picking on a particular religion because somebody of that religion went out and did something wrong. They pick on age groups instead. That's the difference between Nazi Germany and America. When there were a lot of homicides committed on the highway, the government decided, oh, let's pick on people under 21 and inflict the drinking age on them, the reprisal against it.
Yeah, it does happen a lot that way in the United States, and it is pretty sad. Like, younger people, younger than like 18, have a lot fewer rights than people who are just a couple years older than them, and they don't even get to vote. Not that like that's actually a great thing to get to vote, but
yeah, 18, you're old enough to serve your country and die for your country, but you're not old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of that is, let's just say that they dealt with the homicides on the road by passing tougher laws against drunk driving. Just for example, a 30-day minimum jail sentence, first offense DWI, just for example, then the politicians, when they get caught, they'd have to do 30 days. But it's a lot easier to inflict the drinking age on somebody else. And it's the people under 21 committed all these homicides, kind of like the Jews shot a diplomat in German embassy in Paris on 7 November 1938 as an excuse to they're using somebody's homicide as an excuse to punish innocent people.
That is a really great point, Tom. Thank you for the call tonight. His whole point that basically it's not much different to target everybody of an age just for one person's crime than it is to target everybody of a race for one person's crime.
I didn't think that was where the drinking age came in, though. Like, I didn't think that was the reason.
Oh, because there was a lot of homicides? I had no idea. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was just like something they Brain came up with after.
Or
I thought they just came up with it. Because
I know
it
changed
after,
because
Prohibition.
So my mom will tell a story. She has a lot of siblings, right? So I forget. I'm trying to remember which way it went. But for a while, the drinking age was 18, right? So then by the time her sister came of age, like she was about to turn 18, then they switched it to 21. You know what I mean? So it was
whatever. I didn't know it was that recent.
So I think, I'm trying to remember exactly how it went. Now I'm confusing myself.
That happened
but
to a lot of people with cigarettes.
Basically what it was, I think they might have like momentarily changed it to 18 and then back to 21 or something. I have no clue. But basically, like, her and her sister were different ages, but they basically got to, like, they were legally allowed to drink at the same time because of the age changing.
And by the way, there's no federal law that says the drinking age is 21.
It's state laws?
It's set up to the states, and most states have set it to be 21 because it's a condition of getting federal highway money. If you want to receive federal highway money for the interstates, you have to have a drinking age of 21 or over.
It's just so silly that they're allowed to have a law like that, considering like nothing about alcohol or drinking is in the Constitution and every right not enumerated to the states.
Hold on. There is some. Well, it's in the Bill of Rights. There's something about drinking in the Bill.
Oh, what is that?
The amendment against alcohol, is it the 18th and the 21st?
Oh, the prohibition and then 19. Got rid of it.
18th is the women's rights, so.
Yeah, that was, the suffrage.
No, I think 19th, you're right. 19th is, like, slaves, right?
No, that would be the 14th.
Okay, whatever. Okay, what does it say about alcohol? It's the prohibition, and then they got rid of it?
They got rid of it, yes, so.
Oh, okay, well, there's now nothing in the Constitution about alcohol, so you would think, oh, every right not enumerated to the,
Oh, you're going to go all Eighth Amendment on us.
Yeah. is given to the states, but they can manipulate like what you were just saying, like, oh, you want federal money? Well, you have to make this law. Yeah. That's pretty dirty.
And New Hampshire, I mean, to their credit, they refused because they got into a little kerfuffle with the National Highway Transportation Safety Board over the seatbelt law. All 49 other states have mandatory seatbelt laws. New Hampshire is the only state that does not have a mandatory seatbelt law.
So are they missing out on some perks and benefits?
It's kind of like the Real ID Act snit that went on, because some states said, we're not going to comply with this Real ID mandate. And the federal government said, fine, your IDs are not going to be allowed to let you on the plane. And so it just created, it's wonderful. I love watching government agencies bicker with each other. Like, I'd rather have them fighting each other than fighting with us.
Right. I agree. Like, right now, Utah is fighting the feds with, they're putting in this law where they're going to say, like, any federal law they don't like, they can refuse to enforce, but there is like a little clause in it saying, but the feds are allowed to enforce it in the state.
Yes.
Which I guess they can't really stop.
Well, I would say like that would be a way to end the war on drugs, saying, look, if you guys want to enforce the war on drugs so bad, we're not going to help you. But the DEA, if they had to go out and arrest every single drug dealer, they wouldn't have enough manpower. They depend on the state police and the local police to do the heavy lifting for them.
Right. Isn't that kind of what Colorado did?
Colorado for weed or for...
For weed, yeah.
They passed a ballot initiative back in 2012, legalizing it. And so under the Interstate Commerce Clause, remember, when Congress has the authority to regulate commerce amongst the sterile states. So if weed is grown in the state of Colorado and sold in the state of Colorado and ultimately consumed in the state of Colorado, it doesn't affect interstate commerce because it never leaves the state. So that's why weed is legal in the state of Colorado, as long as it never leaves the state of Colorado. But that's why you can't have weed from one state grown and shipped to another state. You can't have like a nationwide brand for cannabis because of that. And so that's all I have to say about that.
There's a guy from New Jersey doing that anyways, though. Like flying in the face with that, I guess, because there's a... I wish I knew what it was called. I can't remember right now. There's a website. A guy in New Jersey sells weed online and will ship it to you. And so far, he hasn't been
Oh, so it's kind of like defense. Silk Road, but you know, a little smaller scale.
Yeah, and just like he's doing out in the open. Ian has talked about it a lot on the show, and I shouldn't have even brought up because I don't remember the freaking name of it now.
But there was something about mushrooms too. Like people were getting hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Are you talking about the guy in Canada who was just? Or maybe it is the same guy that sells weed. He's now
there's like several. There's several different like mushroom chocolate brands.
It's weird how they like pick and choose who they go after.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But there's because I know my somebody was telling me that they were like just ordering them online. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? That's not sketchy or anything.
Yeah.
It might be sketchy. I don't know.
And Denver decriminalized psilocybenic mushrooms, so you
just Denver, not like all of Colorado.
Not all of Colorado. Colorado Springs would be a tough sell because they're very conservative down there with the Air Force Academy.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That there was like a conservative part of Colorado. I always thought it was like all.
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty much anything that isn't Denver or Boulder.
What about South Park?
Is that a real place?
Is it?
No.
I assumed it wasn't.
But I've been all over Colorado. I don't think there's a South Park anywhere.
I'll fact check this for us.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed it was fake and that's why I made the joke like that. But in other news, and yeah, do tell us what you find. Canadian doctors admit COVID booster shot paralyzed a woman. Offer to euthanize her to make up for it.
How bad is her HMO?
So that does sound like a South Park episode.
It does.
But South Park is not a real place in Colorado.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I guess I just assumed that, but I didn't know for sure. This says Canadian doctors have admitted that a COVID booster shot from Moderna is responsible for a young Ontario woman now being paralyzed for the rest of her life, which... The admission alone is, like, pretty interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't think they'd admit that. 37-year-old mother Kayla Pollock is now paralyzed from the neck down. Oh, that's way worse than even, like, from the waist down.
A quadriplegic, yes.
After receiving the mRNA injection and says her life has become a living hell. It's terrible. Oh, my God, it's horrible. According to a report from the Liberty Daily, however, doctors have offered to... quote, make up for it by euthanizing the young mom.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad HMO. Way screwed up. We can
kill
you.
So what is that? What is a HMO?
It's a healthcare. It's a type of
health maintenance.
Oh. I mean,
health maintenance organization. That's where you go to your primary care for your most of the thing, and if they you think you need more, they'll refer you to a specialist. And that's different than a PPO, which is a preferred provider organization.
We're going to send you to our death specialist.
Yeah, but they don't have... I mean, it's just universal healthcare in Canada, right? Don't they have that model? So that's why. Oh my gosh, it's almost like when the government is the only provider of a service, they just murder you instead of actually providing you with that service.
Yeah, you might be expensive for the rest of your life.
I hate to be the one to bring up, like, again with math, but we have so many old people going into nursing homes. We do not have the space. We do not have the personnel.
Sure
not. My dad died of Alzheimer's 5 years ago, and mom said, oh, I thought we were cash pay. We were paying $7,500 a month, and we were begging within a 200-mile radius every nursing home. We can't take them. We don't have room. And so that was kind of scary. If it was like, wow, you know, dad might not have a place to go.
What year did you say that was?
That was in 2018. Or it was 2017 when he went to the nursing home.
I mean, and it's just going to get worse with the baby boomers.
Yes. And so I said something's going to give here because, you know, I imagine my father-in-law is a urologist, and he jokes that at the in the nursing homes, every time a patient moans, they give them a fentanyl patch for the pain.
Oh my God.
And they just keep loading them up with fentanyl patches until they die peacefully of a fentanyl overdose.
Oh my God.
But it's kind of true. Like, I've seen in nursing homes, like, it was a huge thing with, like, my grandmother when she was in the nursing home. Like, they were over-medicating her. And it was like, I obviously, like, I'm a nurse, so I know, like, what an appropriate dose would be. So, but yeah, it was a whole thing where they were just giving her a ton of Seroquel, and it, like, made her...
What's that?
It's a sleeping medication, but they can also use it...
Like Ambien? Like that bad?
No, it's different than Ambien.
Quintiapine, so I've always thought of it as antipsychotic. So like,
so yes, so it is also like for anxiety, agitation. Okay. So at a low dose, like 50 milligrams, you would use Seroquel like throughout the day, and that would work for somebody. It wouldn't make them too tired. Hmm. They were giving her, it was like something crazy, like 400 or 500 milligrams, which is like, I mean, I flipped
like,
out.
I don't want to deal with her. This will just make her go way down and leave us alone.
But it also does have the side effect where if you over-medicate somebody with it, it will make them, like, it will increase agitation and confusion, which was the effect it was having on her. And
yeah,
it essentially,
she would, like, yell at you for no
reason. Yeah, like, she just got, like, super confused towards the end and was, like, very lethargic. And so I've seen this, and I've worked in nursing homes myself. I mean, I was a CNA nurse in a nursing home, and it's just a lot of that. Like, there is like comfort meds, right? So it's like, we don't want people to like be in pain, and you know, a lot of the people benefit from some of these anxiety meds. But there is a lot of over medication that happens in nursing homes just because it makes people easier to deal with. And in the case with my grandmother, it was hard for me to think like, are they trying to kill her? I mean, like, the dose they were giving her was so high. I was like, literally, are you trying to kill her?
Well, I think the government might actually start having death camps for old people because, you know, they're like, we can't afford to pay for the nursing care. We just don't. It's, if we had the money, which we don't, but if we did have the money, we'd have the problem if we don't have the space, we don't have the people.
Well, it's a huge, it's a huge staffing issue even right now.
Yeah, that's why I asked you what year. I was like, it's just only going to get worse because, like you said, baby boomers are a huge generation. There was a bunch of them. And then there are also way fewer nurses since COVID because people were over stressed out, given crazy conditions under which they had to work and nobody wanted to do it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, also like being a nurse or, you know, or a CNA, it's like literally the worst place you can work is a nursing home. Like the worst pay, everything, you know, like the worst working conditions. So a nurse, like if you're a registered nurse or you have a bachelor's degree, I mean, like you're going to want to work in a hospital or like anywhere else.
That's why it's so dumb when Sarah says in communism, people will just do from the goodness of their heart all of the jobs for the same exact pay. Like, oh,
no, well, they won't.
They'll do the job for the fear of not, they don't want to be shot. So like, it's, you know, the Soviet Union was, it's kind of comical when you think about like these were our adversaries that we feared. And I think they're doing the same thing now with Russia. It's like, didn't we win the war against the Soviet Union? Now we have the war against Russia. Do they just change the name of the country and we go back to war with them again?
Also, apparently China is doing really, really badly because of communism. I just don't know how much of that is like some sort of propaganda. I'm not there. I'm not in China.
I mean, I don't know. Like, speaking of the Soviet Union, like, what did they do with elderly people?
Would you want to be an old person taken care of by a worker who was only doing the job because they were afraid of getting shot otherwise?
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the Soviet Union, like, they were just blatantly killing people.
Yes.
They weren't even, you didn't even stand
purges.
A chance.
The great purges from Stalin.
Didn't even stand a chance. You're disabled. You're old. You can't work. Dead. I mean, they were throwing babies off of trains. Like, communists do not care about people.
That's morality.
Yeah, that's right.
True morality.
We're going to take care of everybody. It's going to be a communist paradise.
We're going to take care of ourselves, and then everybody else's lives turn crappy.
Yeah.
That's like Sarah said. So Sarah, the caller that was on earlier, she's also a communist, and she'll tell you that. And she said that in communism, it would be fine to take the people who had big businesses and put them away in jail forever or just kill them.
Well, she said that?
Yeah, we were talking about Trump, and I was like, so Trump has, like, a lot of money.
That's a new one. I didn't know that.
That was years ago that she said that.
That's wild.
It was, like, me and Ian and Arya.
Well, that's what the Nazis did. You know, they took all the Jews had the gold.
Yeah.
And so they, Reibensgeld, or I forgot, there's a word in German for stolen gold. But, you know, they basically, that's the reason they were targeted is because they had all the wealth.
Yeah, they had successful businesses.
And
yeah.
What I point out is the Jews who fled, they left all their wealth behind and the Nazis confiscated it. Mm-hmm. They came over here to America, started over and became very, very successful, by and large, on average. And that's just because the thing that's important in a person is not their wealth, their physical possession. It's the knowledge that's in their head and their ability to work.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So true. It's like we were saying on a few shows ago, it was like a show with me and Jay and Mark Edge. Mark was saying any country that just would have said, we'll accept all the Jews into our country would be doing really well right now because they're, for the most part, like high IQ, good people. Well,
yeah, it's like a cultural thing, right? Workers. So like families, and you know, you see it with like families who value education. They're really into bringing up successful, knowledgeable, like well-balanced children, right? Like cultures that have an emphasis on that, of course they are going to be more successful. Of course they are going to do better. I mean, like, that just makes sense.
I don't think it even has to have anything to do with race. Like, hopefully in the future, people are saying that kind of thing about free staters. Like, they don't all have to be the same race at all.
Right, it's a culture.
It's a culture being created by...
Absolutely.
...the new parents here. That'd be a really great thing. We kind of got off topic from this lady. It's a really sad thing. It's just, it's a lesson in universal health care. They are in Canada... offering to euthanize people if they mess up and paralyze them.
And also, like, don't get me wrong, I do think that as human beings, we should have the choice to euthanize. Like, if I'm terminally, not even terminally ill, if I don't want to live anymore, like, it's my life, like, I deserve the freedom to make that choice. But to just, like, offer, I mean, like, they're offering it to homeless people, drug addicts, anyone that is any sort of disabled. It's just, like, they're really, like, offering it all willy-nilly, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that should be something that isn't really incentivized at all. Like, it's just the patient should have to request that service. That shouldn't be offered to them. Like, to me, that's like in poor taste. It's like, oh, I see that you're disabled now. Would you like to die? Like, that's crazy to me. That
and
is
the
so
source
insane.
Here was slaynews.com, by the way, if anyone wants to look into that. This has been Free Talk Live. You can learn more at freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening and peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.